United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends. I know the sun's shining, but guess what? It's Tuesday, and it's supposed to be Monday, and 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSLM, AM 600. And the number is 347-945-5229, and you listen to Tracy and Friends. And I'm happy today, and I haven't had a Pharrell, you know, song for the whole weekend. Did I hear it over the weekend? I don't think I did. Maybe once, but it wasn't enough. So I had to, you know, give us our fix. Hi, Jeff. How you doing this morning?
The sun is out.
I know.
Sun is out.
I know.
Okay. This song should not be playing right
now. I know. I just,
later on in the show or something like that,
no,
it would be good.
No,
to, you know.
No, no. Start it off.
Uh-huh.
Start it off. Got to start it off, you know. Hey, because I have some people coming in today. Holly Baker is going to come in, and she's going to represent the Boy Scouts. And then Dr. D. Banks Bright's going to come in, and we're going to talk. She's an infectious disease a medical doctor. And we're going to talk about a couple things. There is a new virus. And then there's also one with dogs. They're telling all of us to take our dog to the vet. And so we're going to talk about that.
What's wrong with the dogs?
It's a new virus going around. They want you to take your dog to the vet to get them vaccinated. I think it's a way to get more money out of everyone. That's how I feel about it. But, you know, who am I? Hey, I got a call coming in already. I don't know who it is. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Yeah, this is Steve.
What, Steve? What do you want this early in the morning?
Well,
you don't even know. You don't even know what we're talking about. It's only 9 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock. What?
Well, today, Miss Tracy, they're going to be talking at 10 o'clock tonight on this one show. It comes on Investigation Discovery. It's like on one of the cable channels. It's like that.
And they're gonna be talking about what?
Well, they're going to be talking about ministers who are sinister.
Steve.
In other words,
Steve. I don't want to know.
Because you don't want to know.
No.
Well, I mean, that's...
It's not open mic.
It's not open mic, is it?
No. Today's Tuesday.
I'm sorry about that, Miss Tracy, but I mean, that was the subject that I wanted to bring up.
I know, and you always want to bring up something that I don't know. No, I love you, though.
Well, I mean,
no.
You know.
No.
Okay. What's on the agenda today? Anyway?
I'm talking about Boy Scouts and infectious diseases.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway. What?
I didn't know Boy Scouts had infectious diseases.
My girl Diva come on, tell her I said hi.
Now, that I'll do. I'll make sure to make sure that message is passed on. And if I don't, Jeff will.
Oh,
okay.
Oh no, I won't.
Is he here today, or?
I'm done. Hey, listen, I'm trying to tell you. I'm talking about Dee Banks Bright. She's coming on. And then also, I guess this is going to be really good. I got to talk about the Veterans Day, and Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Veterans Administration. And then I got to talk about the president's speech. And then if we have some time before the end of the day, I hate to do this, but I got to bring up the rant from the ESPN commentator.
What was the rant from the ESPN commentator?
They got under his skin they got way under skin. I want to say his name is White, but I'm going to find it because I got to play it. But he said something. I want to play it, but I don't want to play it right now because if I do, it'll get. Well, maybe I'll play it now and later. It was really good, Jeff.
Well, the ESPN cats are sick and tired of stuff.
No, this guy was good.
I'm trying to say, Jeff,
he was really good.
Oh, you mean a couple of weeks ago?
No, he did it on Friday.
Oh, okay. This is a fresh rant.
Very fresh. I mean, it was so fresh. He was so on point. He got a standing ovation from me, and I was sitting down at my computer.
Wow.
Because he was so on point. It was about Mark Cuban. I think it was about Mark Cuban.
We got to do this because
it was really good.
There was one a couple weeks ago that was like that and on point. But let's hear it.
Well, I got to find it first.
Yeah.
I got to find it first.
I got you.
I'm still ranting and raving and going on because they want to talk about a TV show talking about ministers on TV. I'm so tired of folks. There it is. I found him. His name is Stephen Smith.
Smell?
Smith.
Smith.
Stephen Smith.
Yes.
And he went completely off.
Stephen A. Smith is a sellout.
He got tired of being called
Stephen
a sellout.
Stephen A. Smith's an Uncle Tom. Stephen A. Smith ain't black.
There you go, Jeff.
You ain't one of us.
There you go.
These are the kind of things that were said to me yesterday. Twitter, emails, you know, friends didn't say that to me. What they did was they called up and tried to talk to me, to challenge me on my points of view. Those that are in my inner circle, family, friends, loved ones, they know that I have nothing but love for them, and I appreciate where they're coming from. But when I say I don't give a damn, I can't even emphasize that. That doesn't know justice. I stand by everything that I said yesterday, tenfold, a hundredfold, and I don't care who in the black community disagrees with me. I'm not interested in their disagreement on this particular issue because they're not looking at the bigger picture here. Mark Cuban, in the same breath that he talked about walking across the street from a black dude in a hoodie, followed that up by talking about the white dude who's bald-headed with tats all over his face and his body and what have you. Everybody wants to ignore that in our community. I want to say everybody because I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm just talking about the people that communicated with me, which were in the hundreds yesterday. I'm totally exhausted. I can't believe I'm up for this show with as many conversations I've had to have about this yesterday get on my damn nerves. But the thing about it is that all of those folks ignored the part that he said about the white guy because we want to pounce on him making this statement and alluding to black folks or talking about somebody in a hoodie that happens to be black and how he'd walk across the street. He talked about the prejudices that exist in all spectrums by all of us. Are we going to sit here and literally act like we don't have any prejudices? Mm-hmm. Like we don't feel certain way about certain people or certain people's appearances and how it makes us raise our antennas? Am I going to sit here and tell you that if at night, and I saw, you know, a couple of white dudes with tats all over their body and their head or whatever, and I'm going to feel comfortable with that? I'm not going to raise an eyebrow? Would I be telling the truth? Particularly if I was in some place like Mississippi or Idaho. Not to knock those folks, but you hear where I'm coming from in terms of, you know, sometimes how black folks feel uncomfortable in certain areas geographically in our nation. I mean, this is just a reality. Okay, and so as a result of it, you don't do harm to anybody. You don't inflict harm or pain towards anybody else. But does it raise your antennas and make you a bit suspicious? Sure it does. So what Mark Cuban was saying was 100% correct. It's just that simple. But the bigger issue that needs to be discussed, it's the big elephant in the room, and nobody wants to touch on it because white folks are scared they're going to be labeled racist. Black folks are scared they're going to be labeled sellouts. See, I tend to look at things a bit differently. You know, I look at our unemployment rate consistently being double that of folks in white America. I do understand that to some degree there's a level of racism that we all have to overcome, and I get all of that. But that doesn't mean every single issue is race-related. Sometimes it is about how you represent yourself. It is about how you present yourself. When I alluded to walking around with your pants hanging below your behind, that's trifling. That's just trifling. And it's counterproductive. When I talked about how you sitting there and the first words out of your mouth is, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean? No, the hell we don't. You ain't saying anything yet. That's a reality. When I talk about not having a command of the English language and still you want a job and you want to have a career, but you don't want to get your education. You don't want to go out there and pound that pavement. Everything's about the sprint. It's not about the marathon. It's not about you putting forth the necessary effort and due diligence over the long haul to get the things that you need. That's a reality in our community. And when you look at the guys, whether it's P. Diddy, whether it's Jay-Z, whether it's LeBron or D-Wade or whatever, here's the reality of the situation. Everybody can't be them. They're special. And sometimes some of the special people, I'm not talking about them specifically, but some of the special people within our community don't get it. They are special. Everybody can't be them. So when I'm here on national television talking to them and talking to our community, I'm trying to educate you about the minefields that await, the stereotypes and the perceptions that you can't feed into if you want to move forward in life. Everybody talk about this thing, Kerry, and Skip about the American dream. Let me tell you something right now. Do you understand that I look at a professional athlete, I look at some of these rap artists or what have you, making their tens or hundreds of millions of dollars? I don't consider them the American dream. I consider them a fantasy turned reality. Mm-hmm. You couldn't in your wildest dreams, no matter where you're from or where you at, imagine that you could have achieved what they have achieved. It's very few that are fortunate enough to do that. When we talk about the American dream, you know who I think about? Myself. Mm. Hollis, Queens, New York City. Left back in the fourth grade. Grew up poor. The level of education that I have was a public school system. I ultimately graduate from high school. I go to a historically black institution like Winston-Salem State University. I graduate with honors. There is no journalism program. I still graduate with honors. I still beat out thousands of people to get an internship that ultimately transitioned from a career at the New York Daily News to the Philadelphia Inquirer to CNN and then Fox Sports, and then ultimately ESPN, and I'm on national TV every day. Get paid pretty well, I might add. And I'm thinking about the fact that where did I come from? This is the road you've got to climb. You know, everybody can't be Jay-Z. That's one in a billion. Everybody can't be Shaq and Kobe. That's one in a billion. But you can be Stephen A. Smith. Educate yourself. Work hard. Do what you have to do. Pound that pavement. Be about the business of going for yours and understanding what you have to do to work through the political minefield that work that waits for you in every step of our lives.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
She just looks that bowl squeaky clean. She loves Dynavite.
I've just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dynavite for cats.
The vitamins, the minerals,
it's got all the stuff in it that cats really like.
You don't even have to put food with the Dynavite. She will eat the powder right out of the scoop.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog.
She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Sammy, he's 13, 14 years old and is running around a little bit more. His coat is a little bit softer and shinier.
Justin's eyes sparkle more. He bats at stuff. He kind of jumps around.
Daisy and Poopy have a cat tree in my living room, and lately she's been climbing up to the top, jumping up there, and then she'll climb back down, and then she's right back up again.
It is just the best Dynavite for cats.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired?
Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com. Safe Auto is always there to help you online or through their mobile app. With the right car insurance at the right price wherever and whenever you need it. You need your car whenever you need your car. Life doesn't stop. Safe Auto gets it. Click, call, and enjoy the road ahead.
This is the home of Imus in the Morning. Weekdays on News Talk 600 WSON. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, good morning, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff in the studio with me, and today is the 27th of May, 2014, and I have Miss Holly Baker, and she is going to be talking to me about Boy Scouts. They have the Boy Scout breakfast coming up at Stambaugh, I think next Tuesday, a week from today.
A week from today.
And I don't think you guys, I mean, Boy Scouts when we were younger is a little bit different than Boy Scouts today.
Yes.
But the mission is still the same, and they still produce a great product for our young men. How you doing this morning, Miss Holly?
I'm doing fine.
So tell us what's going on. You got all those papers over there. You can't have those papers. What is going on with that?
I have to keep notes. Well, next Tuesday, June 3rd, is our 9th annual breakfast, and it will be at Camp Stambaugh this year. We're trying something new. We're really trying to showcase the camp. It's on Leffingwell Road in Canfield, so we want people to come out, see what the camp's about, see what the boys are doing, see where your money goes.
How many boys do we have now? How many? Do you know? Over 1,000?
In scouting in general?
Yeah, in scouting in Mahoning Valley.
I don't know.
You don't
Mahoning
know that
Valley.
Number?
In the United States?
Yeah.
104 million
wow.
boys. Can you believe that? Now, that's total inception. There's
okay.
been 104 million boys gone through Boy Scouting in
wow.
the United States.
What the breakfast is coming up? What is it about? Why do you guys do this? What's it for? Why?
This is to keep the camps going. This is just Whispering Pines District, which is all of Mahoning County and Hubbard.
Okay.
Just that little niche of Trumbull County.
You know, Hubbard is special.
Hubbard is special because we're both from there.
That's right.
And the money goes to what it actual cost. Of keeping one boy in scouting is $150 a year.
Okay.
Now, that's through the scouting office. That's not through their dues, through what their cub leader or scout leader would do. This is through the scouting office.
Okay.
So that's kind of how we based our sponsorship levels this year. We decided to make them, we're asking for a donation of $150.
Okay, so we can actually sponsor one boy through the levels of scouting for
1 year.
For 1 year.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, tables go up through $4,800. You know, if they're interested in something like that.
But if they want to donate and they want to come to the breakfast, are there still seats available?
Oh yes, yes.
Where do they call?
They are going to call the scout office. They can call Preston. The scout office is on Enterprise Drive in Warren. And I'm going to find you Preston's number. Actually, there's an email address. It is gwrc@bsa-gwrc.org.
One more time.
I know.
Just in case. Just in
I know,
case
that's a long one.
That's a good one.
gwrc at bsa-gwrc.org. Now, Preston, phone number is 330-898-8474. The breakfast begins at 7:15. It is at the camp. Now, there is a paved road that goes down to the dining hall. It's not steep, but for people that do have problems, we will have transportation going down to the dining hall for them.
And for those of us who like to wear heels, make them flat.
Yeah, you know what? And dress casual just because it'll give you a chance to walk around the camp,
okay,
see the swimming
pool, to know.
The shooting range. You know, just there's a lot of things
that
to see
like
there.
That sounds like fun.
It is. It
now,
is.
Did we get to play?
You know, we're thinking about having an actual open house next year, you know, moving this to an evening event, having a dinner.
And letting us play.
And letting you play.
Letting the adults play.
To see what the boys do.
That would be fun.
And the Boy Scout troops are actually going to help at this breakfast. They'll be help cooking, cleaning.
Oh, that's awesome.
We had three gentlemen that passed away this past year that were very involved in scouting. And just in Whispering Pines.
Who's that?
Robert Zediker, Bob Zediker.
Yeah, Bob Zediker, yeah.
John Wolbolt and George Grimm.
Wow.
And
Bob Zediker was a friend of mine, and he would come to a meeting, and he would have his scouting uniform on.
Always.
And I'm like, Bob, do you realize that you have on short pants?
And Bob, one of his things that he loved teaching the boys was tying knots,
yes,
all the different knots. So we will have a knot tying one troop that's just going to teach the people as they're coming in about knot tying. Eleanor,
yeah,
his wife, will be there speaking.
Great, great.
Yes, great event. So I hope people can come out.
I plan on being there. So, Jeff, you have to be here. Well, be here next Tuesday.
Okay.
Next Tuesday, because I just RSVP'd and let them know that I was going to be there.
Uh-huh.
Great.
For the Boy Scout breakfast. I'm looking forward to it. I don't eat eggs. But I'll be there.
There is other food.
Okay.
Fruit, bacon, sausage.
I can't wait to see
rolls.
Everybody because this will be my first Boy Scout breakfast.
Oh, wonderful.
I've never made it because usually I'm working, but I'm going to
take
some time.
And we have a real cook, which is very important because
you have a real cook?
I was a Cub Scout leader when my son was in Cub Scouts, and there was not a lot of father involvement. There just wasn't. And so the moms took over. And the boys had to cook a few times, so we do have a real cook.
That's good.
But the nice thing is, you know, and for the single moms out there, get your children involved.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know you don't know how to use tools or you don't know how to do this.
It helps.
They will learn.
It's an asset.
Grandfathers jump in.
Yeah.
Uncles jump in.
And there's some great guys out there. I look at Mark Luke. And
yep,
some other guys out there who are really active in the Boy Scouts,
right,
on
these,
an ongoing
and these
basis.
Grow up and they learn to give back too. I mean, my son is now in Friends of Scouting.
Is he really?
And
how old is your son
all
now?
Grown up, 28.
Oh my goodness!
So, Wanda Clark,
you
know her? She's the principal at Williamson Elementary. She will be there speaking.
Oh, that'll be awesome! She's a great person.
She is.
Jeff Clark's wife.
Talking about Scout Reach, which is a great, great program, and I can't wait to hear her talk. They have. You know, it's tough to bring scouting into the inner city schools. And so the way they've brought this in is through study hall and recess time.
Oh,
instead
really?
Of after school, they
okay.
have scouting. She said discipline problems.
They diminish.
Yes.
They come down substantially.
And attendance has gone up on
Absolutely.
Scouting days. So
it is. You will find that young men who are participants in scouts have less behavioral problems.
Yes.
And they have a higher academic achievement. And then it teaches them networking because they go out and they get to meet other guys who are their age from other areas, and it puts down a whole lot of barriers.
Yes.
The statistics have shown that young men who become Eagle Scouts usually become very, very successful in business.
Yes, absolutely.
It's really amazing how that works.
And you're right. I mean, the statistics... They are unbelievable, just the presidents and astronauts and
yes.
people in the service that have gone through Eagle Scouts.
What are you trying to say, Jeff?
I was a scout.
Good for you.
Thank you.
And then
That's why I'm here today.
And then there's Jeff.
See, now you started it.
I know.
You weren't in the Girl Scouts either.
We had campfire.
Campfire girls.
I was a campfire girl.
You are not a Girl Scout. That has nothing to do with it.
But I do. I eat the cookies. Does that help?
No.
I was a campfire girl, and Mrs. Aaron was my troop leader.
Mm-hmm.
and she was absolutely wonderful.
I'm proud of you. I don't remember who my Girl Scout leader was. I don't.
And she's a friend of mine on Facebook. So tell us what else is going on with the Boy Scouts. Tell us, and we know it's breakfast on Saturday. It's on Tuesday, which
is
a week from today.
Tuesday morning. It usually lasts about an hour.
Okay.
So, you know, you have plenty of time to still get to work.
Please
stop out. Even if you don't have a reservation, we still are welcome you.
How much is it? Just if I don't have $150, how much is it?
I mean, you can come for free. We're asking for the donation.
Free food? Yes.
And they have a pledge time, of course.
Okay.
Jason Wolf, our Scout director,
okay,
very enthusiastic, and he will get up and speak along with Alec Ball, who is an Eagle Scout. He's from Poland, and he will speak. But the whole thing only lasts about an hour, hour and a half. So you should be out of there before 9 o'clock, and then if you have time and you'd like to walk around and visit the Scouts and see what they have, they'll have displays set up. It's just a really wonderful event.
And if you cannot make it, you can always send a donation.
Absolutely.
This is a fundraiser. And those of you who are out there who are part of organizations who do philanthropic work, just because the Boy Scouts don't know who you know who they are, and you can always put together a program and to raise funds for the Boy Scouts. I'm with Boardman Rotary.
Okay.
And I know that we partner with the Boy Scouts to give a contribution. And it's very, very important how we go and sponsor that and what it does to the bottom line for our young men, because not everybody can afford to be a part of it. They have scholarship programs. They have badge programs. And the young men who matriculate through the program have an opportunity to experience something that they may not have had an opportunity to do. So please, those of you who are part of organization or your churches, you know, I think churches should tithe also.
Yes.
And so there's nothing wrong with you tithing and giving into a, you know, an organization such as Boy Scouts and helping them with their bottom line, because it costs money to do the right thing.
It does. They can go to the Greater Western Reserve Council website, gwrc.org, and you can actually give right online.
GWC, say that again.
GWRC, Greater Western Reserve Council, for the Boy Scouts.
They can
actually contribute right online.
Okay.
So,
well, I thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm gonna cheat right here and beat Holly up for a minute, because you know she got here early and I got done with her early because I don't have anything else to say. If you leave me the forms, I will continue to announce this. But I want to commend Holly Baker. She was one of the organizers, and she did a lot of coordinating. She did a lot of stuff for the Thunder Over the Valley. And I don't know if you really know how much work goes into trying to organize that many people, that much bureaucracy, those many organizations, raise the funds, execute it, get it through the day, go through the rain, and come out on top. And I want to thank you. You did a lot of work, because I know you. And I wasn't even around, and I know you.
I was the chair on the civilian side.
And that was a lot.
It was a great success.
It was a great success, but I want to thank you for your time, because time is a lot more valuable than money. And sometimes we don't look at that way, and sometimes we forget to say to the people that are in the background, thanks.
Well, thank you.
So I thank you. I know the civilian airbase, I know they are going to thank you. But I want to thank you publicly, because people need to know that there's a Holly Baker out there that's fighting for us to have Thunder Over the Valley. You did a wonderful job.
Love the reserve base. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Memorial Day fire has destroyed Struthers chair and tent rental on Spring Street. Firefighters got the call just before 11 a.m. Several departments responded, but when crews arrived, flames were shooting through the roof. Firefighters were able to contain it, preventing it from spreading to nearby storage buildings. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. Over in Warren, a grant that would help keep fire.
When you choose a Kubota BX Series tractor from Unkifers, you'll have the strength and versatility of a compact utility tractor with the agile handling of four-wheel drive and the feel of a garden tractor. Need something bigger? The new Kubota M Series will convince you that what you thought was impossible in a midsize tractor is now possible. Visit Unkifer Equipment in Minerva, serving you for over 45 years. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to noon, and click on UnkiferEQ.com.
Hi, I'm Barry Sanders. Scleroderma is a horrible disease that ravages the lives of its victims and their families. I know firsthand because it ended the life of my sister Nancy at the age of 26. I still think about her often, and I wish that more research were being done to end the suffering from this disease. Don't just stand on the sideline. Please get involved and help us to win the fight to cure scleroderma.
Walk to Cure Scleroderma, Saturday, June 14th in Boardman, Ohio. Visit boardmanwalk.info.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
The Savage Nation is heard here on News Talk 600.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Call now, 800-489-6410, 800-489-6410.
Putting America and our valley back to work, recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Like ETI Technical College, creating quality programs in demand fields with options that save you time and money.
We offer several different programs, law, business, medicine, web design, accounting, some skilled trades. We give the students an opportunity to focus the curriculum solely around their area of interest, trimming away a lot of the fat, you know, saving them time, saving them money. Two things as you get older, you're going to wish you had more of, it's time and money. And a college like ETI is able to save you both.
Putting America and our valley back to work. To find out how your business can be a part of our program, call 330-783-1000. That's 330-783-1000.
Steering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and our valley back to work.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Well, hello there, good people.
This is your happy polka pal, Larry Walk.
And your happy polka gal, Diana Walk.
Inviting you to tune in our Happy Polka Land show, now heard here at AM 600 WSOM every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m.
It's the musical antidepressant, featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Larry Walk's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600 WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to thank Ms. Holly Baker for coming on and hanging out with us. Don't forget, the breakfast is next Tuesday. It is at 7:15 in the morning, so you got an early morning. But they want you to come out and have breakfast with them. The event is they want a contribution for it. It's a fundraiser. They're looking for people to sponsor young people so they can participate in the Boy Scouts. It costs about $150 per young man to participate in the Boy Scouts, and they're looking to raise funds to make that happen. I think Larry's on the line. Good morning, Mr. Larry.
How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. And how are you?
I had some time between calls, and I figured I'd listen to my favorite talk show host.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Were you a Boy Scout?
No.
Oh, that's what's wrong with you.
My brother and I were Boy Scouts for about a hot minute when we were little, and my mom took us there, and my dad put the mix on that real quick. He didn't really believe in the Boy Scouts, which that was his thing. But to be quite honest with you, Tracy, as growing up, between all the sports my brothers and I played, we didn't have time to be Boy Scouts.
Oh, okay, because you guys were athletes.
Yeah, we went from football to basketball to baseball, wrestling, track. And it was a constant. If anything that my parents did, it was kept us active in those different sports like that. Me, I was a good kid. My other two brothers, it probably kept them from being in the system.
What kind of transportation did you have?
Transportation?
Uh-huh.
As a kid?
Yeah. Did your mom taxi you everywhere, or did you do the bike and walk thing like the rest of it?
Well, Tracy, it's funny you mentioned that. We biked everywhere. If we wanted to go to the pool, now in the East End of East Liverpool, to get to the pool, it was way up the hill, so hardly anybody biked it. You would take your bike and push it up the hill. But then, we'd take it home. My brothers, and they were both real good track athletes. But if you go back and you look at some of the records, like my nephew will make the state this year, and he's a 6'6 high jumper. Both my brothers could scissor kick that 6'6. They would just jump right over, And,
wow.
And if you go back and you look at some of the things, we had one car, and that my dad used that to get to and from work. So if we wanted to do something, it was either walking or biking, and biking mostly.
Okay.
But my brothers and I, we've been looking at that because you go back to like the golden age of track and field as far as track and field high school athletics here in Ohio. It was back in the mid 80s to early 90s, and the only thing that was different back then, because they train better than us today, they eat better than we did back then, but we walked a lot, and we rode our bike. My son now, I don't know if he's ever, since the last time he rode a bike. You know what I mean?
That's why I asked you, because we were talking about Boy Scouts, and we had. Our mode of transportation was a bike and a foot. And if you didn't have a bike and you didn't have feet, you might be in trouble because you would be stuck. But as far as our parents taxiing us everywhere, that didn't happen that I can remember.
No.
And that's why I asked you, because, some people, they got the I don't understand where the taxi thing comes in.
It's crazy because I look at my household now. I got three at home that are of driving age. Jen's got a car. I got a car. Aaron's got a car. Gabby got a car. And Zoe got a car. Now, in defense of those three children that all have separate cars, each one of them bought their own car. They paid their own money for it. Zoe worked since she was 14 and saved all her money with her mom's help because Zoe needed somebody to be over top of her to save it. But, you know, they all bought their own car, but there's five cars now, you know. We have one car.
I want to switch over to, I was talking about Smith earlier. And I don't know if you heard the clip because he went off on Facebook. Stephen Smith from ESPN.
It
was one of the best rants I've heard. I mean, it was almost like he took my playbook, but,
Stephen A. is solid. Stephen A. he's taking the people to task. He's a sports guy, but I mean, he's sharp. And there's one, you know, Stephen A. and there's another one, Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock.
Absolutely.
Solid.
But now my question, hold on, Larry, I don't want to go that far. I got to bring up the Veterans Administration before I go too far. I want to know how the president went over to, did he go to Afghanistan yesterday?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Did they out somebody?
And he talked about how he wanted to take care of the veterans and how he was going to, and how he wanted to take care of them, how much they meant to him. And I know that, you know, and I've talked to some people over the weekend, and I think they're right about a lot of things. The Veterans Administration has been broken a long time. That I understand. But my question is, if he had concentrated more on the Veterans Administration and making it right and less on trying to make a legacy with health care reform, he may have gotten somewhere. And I thought about that this morning. Go ahead, Larry. I was just saying
that I've taken from this whole Veterans Administration, besides the fact that, yeah, he knew about it when he got in office, the transition team knew about it, they've done nothing in 5+ years to fix it. But instead of pointing the finger and blaming everything, Tracy, the reason that they cannot say that the Veterans Administration is bad is because liberals have always thrown the VA up as a model of what all health care should look like in the United States. They always say, we've already got socialized medicine. It's called the VA. And what people have been telling them for years is the VA is not run well. And you're seeing that today. So for him to say that it's messed up goes contrary to everything he truly believes. I mean, that's where they want to take us, is what's going on in the VA right now.
Good morning, South Carolina.
Thanks.
Good morning, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. I guess you heard about what happened over the weekend.
What was that shooting down there?
Yeah. Total of 7 people total.
Go back to VA first, and then we'll go to there because I'm working my way to the shooting there and the shooting out in Santa Barbara, California, with the young man.
Yeah. The VA system. I mean, if you really want to see what the government healthcare system is going to look like, just look at the VA. You've got a certain amount of money that they're given, and they have to give a certain amount of care, and it's just not happening. You know, and then as an example, right up the road there in Columbia, at the Dorn Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina, they were given an additional $1 million so that they could send veterans to civilian hospitals to get colonoscopies, and they didn't do it. Matter of fact, they only spent like a couple hundred thousand dollars. They kept the rest, and the total colonoscopies went down during that period of time. So, no, they're not. They're keeping them. Honestly, Tracy, what I'm seeing is they're keeping them on some of the psychotropic medicines, and they're keeping them doped up to the point to where they just don't care. You know, you go to the VA hospital and you tell them you got a pain, trust me, you're going to get you some meds. You won't feel the pain no more. You'll be oblivious to what's going on, but you won't feel no pain.
I thought the words that came out of his mouth yesterday And I said, you know, I said, wow. I listened to the speech that President Obama gave yesterday, and I'm like, I know it was broken before you got there. I do. I understand that. But my question is, you, somebody could have done something, and this is where
6 years in.
This is where the rubber meets the road. You need to know when the system is broken and that you need to go outside of the system to fix it. There's nothing wrong with the President of the United States calling up system managers and people who handle processes of paper and saying, listen, this is the problem that we have in the VA, and I want to contract you to come in here and organize it and make it work. I want everything scanned in. I want this done. I want that done. We're going to lay off people. We're going to downsize. We're going to do whatever is necessary to make this happen, putting together a program and going to Congress and saying, now you fund it. I just don't understand. And maybe I'm just slow, and maybe I'm just dumb, because I know my limitations, and I know what I can and cannot do. So if you want me to type something 100 words a minute, I'm going to have to go call somebody in to get it done. Now, I'm going to get it done, but you're going to have to pay to get it done, because if you're looking for me to do it personally, it's not going to happen.
Well, the one thing that is very clear is you're 6 years into this administration. You can't go back and blame it on Bush, number one. Number two, here it is. Bush had the one complaint about Walter Reed Hospital. This is 26 different VA administration hospitals or clinics. So when we're talking about this, we're looking at this total debacle of leadership that we've only seen one other time in recent history, and that's up under Jimmy Carter. You're looking at Carter II presidency. Only this is the sequel, and it's worse than the first.
But I'm just saying, I don't want to compare.
I do.
I know you do.
Because
I'm just saying.
Why am I comparing?
I don't know. I don't know. That's not what I do. I'm just saying.
You need to do that.
I don't need to do that.
This is why you need to do that.
I need to stand up where I'm not into comparing between him and you know, peanut butter jelly sandwiches and a steak sandwich. What I'm saying is America is broken. America needs to be fixed, and there are some things in America right now that can be fixed. And the problem is the president got up there yesterday, and he gave a great speech. And I listened to people who voted for him, who don't hold him accountable, criticize him for not taking care of the Veterans Administration, but no one wants to do anything about it. But it's not about they're not going to, but the people need to, because as I think South Carolina just said, your health care system now is going to look like this in the future. And if they'll play a Ponzi scheme with people who actually do and take a bullet for you, what will they do for you and all you do is show up?
Whenever you employ the same policies, it always brings about the same result. That's why you compare. Same policy, same freaking result. You get the same thing you got 40 years ago. That's the problem. And when you put a liberal mindset in control of government, which government can't do it, they just cannot. If they privatized Social Security, Veterans Administration, this stuff would be over with.
They don't have to privatize it. All they have to do.
Sure they do.
No, they don't. All you have to do is give them a voucher program. A voucher program.
That's privatizing it.
And letting them go into any hospital and making sure that their insurance program and making sure their needs are met.
Privatize it.
How hard is that?
Privatize it, and then the money, you'll have a lot more money to go around because the people will make the people function. You will have functional working people. When you get these government jobs, you ever walk, you know, my father went to the VA, okay, and I had to take him up to Cleveland once or twice a month, and then even to the Youngstown one once a month. So twice a month, I'm in for two years straight. I'm in VA facilities every month, and I see, some people are very competent inside of those organizations and those facilities. But then you see
but the processes aren't.
But their processes are locked in by government red tape.
But that's what I'm saying.
Got to get it out of the hands.
If the president instead of him focusing in on trying to create a legacy for himself by pushing forth this health care legislation the way that he did and handled the problems that we currently have, he would be a better president. And my problem is, even with the rollout of health care, you could see that he had no execution experience, no administrative experience, and he's not smart enough to go out and find people to go do it.
Now we have two different things of thought. I think he's doing this precisely on purpose.
But listen, I'm not talking about his intentions because I don't know the intentions of a man's heart. What I do know is the execution of what he's doing is faulty. So the fruit from the tree tells me you don't know what you're doing, and no one will tell you any different, and you won't do any different.
I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I used to think just like what you just said. I thought he was stupid and inept, and I said, where did they get this guy? Notice you've never seen his IQ test. And they know his IQ test is way below most of the
who? Obama's?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Way below. Well, I do.
I don't. How do you know?
Because I looked it up.
What was it?
Okay, his college entries suggested he has an IQ of something like 112.
Okay.
Okay. Most other presidents have a high IQ higher than 123, 24. And you don't have any that are less than that, including Mr. George W. Bush. My point is that's not so much important. Because you don't have to be the smartest on a IQ test to be competent a certain way. All you have to do is have common sense. They're not ruling with common sense. They're ruling with foolishness.
Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll be right back.
330-781-96. 800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
In Isla Vista, six people died, more than a dozen wounded Friday night. The mother of George Chen, one of the six people who died, appeared at a makeshift memorial and spoke with emotion about what happened.
We would die 100 times, 1,000 times, but we don't want our kids to get hurt. This shouldn't happen to any family.
We would die 100 times, 1,000 times, she said, but don't want our kids to get hurt. Some are angry that the 22-year-old shooter, Elliot Roger, was not stopped. ABC's Clayton Sandell is in Isla Vista.
Recently, Roger had three run-ins with police, the first last summer. He claimed he'd been attacked, but in his manifesto admits he tried to push female partygoers off a 10-foot ledge after he says they insulted him. In January, he accused a roommate of stealing candles. And just a few weeks ago, sheriff's deputies came to his door because his parents were worried about his increasingly disturbing videos.
Classes are canceled today at UC Santa Barbara. Another violent day in eastern Ukraine, rising tensions with Russia. ABC's Alex Marquardt in Kiev.
Russia has demanded that Ukraine halt its military campaign to stamp out a pro-Russian insurgency in the eastern part of the country. An intense assault Monday by Ukrainian fighter jets and helicopters on pro-Russian separatists who had taken control of the Donetsk airport left dozens of rebel fighters dead. Ukraine's president-elect, Petro Poroshenko, has vowed to swiftly put down the rebellion. Alex Marquardt, ABC News, Kiev.
A 15-year-old girl in western North Dakota is still in critical condition after a tornado hit last night. It destroyed eight trailers at an oil field workers camp. And all nine people were injured. This is ABC News.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands.
That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-95-STEEL.
Call now to lock in your price.
866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
Average home prices rose in March more than 12% compared to last year, but the new Case-Shiller report finds monthly gains have slowed down. The housing market is still not back to normal since the collapse that started 7 years ago.
Major recoveries happen where job growth happens. We have to follow the jobs,
says Kathy Fetke, who runs the California real estate firm Real Wealth Network.
With interest rates having dropped a bit, more people can afford the new homes.
But it depends on where you live.
In many parts of the country, it's still much cheaper to buy an existing home than a new home, and people wouldn't be able to afford the new home. But in other areas where prices have gone up dramatically, it is starting to equal out.
In most places, renting is cheaper. The government says factory orders for long-lasting manufacturers' goods, that's manufactured goods, grew for a third straight month in April, but much of that strength came from a big surge in demand for military aircraft. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Hurry into Subway now for the oven-roasted chicken, the $3 6-inch Selective May. Load up this low-fat favorite with all the veggies you love, like baby spinach and crisp cucumbers. Even try it fresh toasted on flatbread, and it's still just $3. It's a value you don't want to miss. Subway, eat fresh.
Have you been thinking that the stock market and 401ks aren't what they're cracked up to be? Listen to Straight Talk Wealth with
Dave. Well, ring-a-ding-ding, the year was 1936.
I'm believing the good of all mankind.
This is Tracy and Friends.
Find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness. 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends at 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on WSLM AM 600. Dr. D. Banks Bryce is going to come and hang out with us at 10:30, and we're going to talk about infectious diseases. There's some things that are out there that we need to talk about that you need to know about, and she's going to come in and tell us about it. I got Jeff in studio here, got people in the chat room there, and we talked about the Veterans Administration, talked about President Obama a little bit. Now I want to talk about everybody shooting everybody. I mean, I got a lot. I mean, today's it's like Monday on Tuesday.
All over the world.
I mean, they're just shooting people. They just bang, bang, shoot them up. Don't forget about the Boy Scouts breakfast that's going to be held a week from Tuesday, and it is going to be Tuesday, June the 3rd Tuesday, June the 3rd at 7:15 at Camp Sambal, which is on Leffingwell Road. 3712 Leffingwell Road. They're going to have a great breakfast there. They want you to come out. The speaker is going to be Mrs. Clark, who is the president over at Williamson School. They're going to honor Robert Zediker, John Woolbolt, and George Grimm, and want you to come and join them also. South Carolina, why you got people shooting in your land? And then California is not on, but I want to know why people are shooting in Santa Barbara. That's supposed to be a quiet town. Santa Barbara, you know.
It's white supremacy.
Don't even get me started.
I just had to answer for him. I spoke on Kavita Man's behalf.
Okay. It was white supremacy that the folks were shooting?
It's white supremacy. And see, you're not in that neighborhood. And so, you know, we ain't trying to hear that stuff you're talking about. Because it's all about these guns and all this stuff that they put in our neighborhoods. And that's what you do.
South Carolina, is it white supremacy down there going on? What are y'all doing down there? I just want to know.
No, Tracy, they had a week-long bike festival the previous week, for the Harley Davidson group, and there was not a single fatality during that time.
Let me tell you why.
Period.
Because you got to have some money to own a Harley.
Like, yeah.
You can't be broke with a Harley.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the drug dealers got Harleys.
You can't be broke with a Harley.
That's okay. The drug dealers have Harleys.
There's been an effort over the past few years to try and curtail some of the activities with the one's a Harley Fest, the other's called a Black Bike Fest. And they have really tried to work it so that, these guys can have a bike festival.
Did you say a black bike fest? Oh, slow down.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
It's a black bike fest.
That's what it's called.
What does that mean?
Yeah. That means you've got an area of Myrtle Beach, Atlantic Beach, which has been for years the quote-unquote black beach, the colored beach that black folks went to. And that's where they have it. So you're talking about over 100,000 people from outside the area that come to this little beach area, and they do their little thing down there. But this time it got really, really violent, and people got killed. And it was
South Carolina.
Three separate incidents.
Are you telling me these are black people?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody involved was black. You got
white supremacy. It's white supremacy.
It's over a 2-night span. You had seven people were shot. A total of 5 people dead in a 2-night span at Myrtle Beach, which this has never happened at the Mike Fest before. But like I said, you know, over the years they have basically worn out their welcome. I think there'll be a concerted effort on the part of the
city. Did you say they wore out their welcome?
They wore it out because they do stupid stuff. They come down and raise hell and you know, do burnouts in the middle of Ocean Boulevard and cause traffic snarls and curse people out, just have general bad behavior. Run around half naked. I mean, if you look at some of the Facebook postings of some of these people, and you see some of these young ladies down there, you'd be totally embarrassed, and they're not your kids, you know. And then I found out about the shooting a little late, but then I got a phone call yesterday from my daughter, who when I see her, I'm going to wring her neck because she had her butt down there and did not tell me. But now she's grown, but you still should have said something.
Why is she supposed to say something? Wait a minute. Whoa. Why is she got to say? Why she got to tell you she went down there?
Because she's my child, and I'm paying for school for her. And only daddy paying, daddy have some say-so.
They're saying 8 shot, 3 dead here.
Huh?
Hopefully 2. I said they're saying 8 shot, 3 dead. Hopefully 2 are hanging on somewhere.
No, there's 5.
Oh God!
Yeah, the other two were. They also.
Do we know why they were shooting people? Shooting up and just going for what they know. Do we know why they just started shooting people?
Two were robberies. Two were connected to a robbery, and the other three, the ones on the street, they were connected to a fight. And
this was separate events.
Three separate events, rather.
What happened to fist fight? You know, go out there.
No, come on, y'all.
I mean, seriously, a good fist fight would do your heart good.
Yeah, but you shut down a whole lot of stuff. You know what's getting ready to happen? And this is where I'll go with Covina Man on this one. They're getting ready to clamp down on the inner cities. They're going to do martial law. And when they do martial law, it's going to be totally over for the black community inner cities. And they think that all of this crying on suppression and all of this other stuff and all this going after people and saying you trying to disenfranchise, all this stuff is going to play to their behalf. It's not going to play for that. It's going to cause there to be a huge backlash. And understandably so, I hate to say it. It's going to be so understandable that a lot of black people are going to go for it.
Wait a minute, I've got a question. How you going to do that? Because I live in the inner city and I ain't doing lockdown.
You're going to do lockdown.
Why am I going to do lockdown?
Because it is a plan. That's why.
No. I don't want to be locked down.
Well, you may not want to
do
anything.
Why do I have to be locked down if I don't want to be locked down?
Well, like I said,
I don't know. No. I don't want to be. I was at Sam's Club over the weekend, and there was a young lady behind bars for muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that either.
Well, I feel you.
I can't be on lockdown.
Tracy,
I'm allergic.
Is, what you've got is people that are in those situations will gladly accept it as a part of, you know, they've been so conditioned, I think they're going to just say, okay, no problem, we'll accept it.
Yeah, because they don't want to go through it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they don't want to go through it.
That
plain and simple. If you want the gunshots to stop, you know, had this person say something we were talking about gun violence, you know, and the father of the young one of the victims of the young man out in Santa Barbara came. We have to stop this. We have to stop these guns. When are we going to say it's enough? It's enough. Well, it's a bunch of bull because they know good and well. And I put on the post, more guns, less of these things, because before he could have got the 7 people and killed them, he would have been dropped if there were more law-abiding people with guns.
Let me say this, Jeff. And I hate to disagree with you on this. I really do.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to go too far into this. It's a spirit, and we need to really recognize what has happened to us since 9/11. What's happened to us since abortion has taken place? My mom said, "What is going on here?" I said, "Can you? You have to realize when you kill that many babies in the womb, you can't be surprised about what happens when they come out." When you take God and take your society and you turn it to become amoral, you can't be surprised by people having mental illness and now taking guns and going in and just shooting up people because they're depressed because they don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You got to understand, it's not really, it ain't about the guns. It's about the spirit, and it's about the reason why they're doing it. And they are possessed now because you didn't put Harry Potter in the school and taken the Bible out.
Well,
so you can get all the guns. You can take everybody in the school, everybody in the college, and you can take put all guns and all the same people, and they all just going to be just as crazy as they are right now. And the young boy had a manifesto who said, "I'm going to go down." When they called the parents and they saw it on TV, they knew it was their son. Hello? Come on. This is a demonic spirit that is permeating not just Santa Barbara, but the one in Chardon, Ohio, the one down in Sandy Hook, it's all over the place, even to where the bikers go down there to have a good time, and they drink a drink, and next thing you know, they start shooting up, too. And it's been in your inner city for years, and nobody wants to speak to it.
Well,
it's demonic at its root.
Absolutely, it's demonic at its root, but here's the thing, don't forget that the way God set down many of the demonic countries was that Israel overtook them with arms. When Israel was going to be annihilated in Esther, what happened? They were given arms.
Again, Jeff. They were given arms, but the people that have the arms don't have the Spirit of God either. What I'm saying is I'm talking about today.
It's not true.
Many of them. The problem that we have right now is that the church is sitting on its laurels.
Okay.
And the people are in disarray. And the Bible says when evil men rule, the people perish or they mourn. We need to understand right now, we have a society right now. We are actually coming up upon a system right now where we are promoting everything that is in total opposition of righteousness, of doing the right thing. We can't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know who's surprised, but I'm just telling you
and
the
there's
way
no,
to stop it.
Yeah, to get back on our knees.
You need
and
to do that,
and there is no two. If you don't begin there, all you're going to do is continue on. But the train is already out the barn.
How should I say it? If you look at the way God does stuff, He raises up people to stop things. That's my point.
And you're right. He does raise up people to stop things.
So I say more concealed carry. You have less of these things happen.
I'm not saying we should not have concealed carry. I'm not saying the teacher should not have them in the classroom. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to carry them on a campus. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to do that. What I'm saying is if you have everybody carrying and the spirit is still there and you haven't gotten the spirit at the root, you're still going to be shooting people, and it'll just have an okay corral. We just go out there in the middle and just have a barnyard fight.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, but it's going to be the Wild Wild West, like you're saying, Tracy.
It never happens, Stanley, anywhere. It has not happened anywhere in the country, period. Where you have one town where they voted in that everybody must carry. Okay?
I'm sorry, Jeff,
nobody...
Jeff, I don't want to live in
where
New York
that?
And have somebody carry. I don't want to go to a club or go to a place that somebody's having another fight and somebody has the power to kill me or the power to take out my life because he's not happy.
I don't want
the family like that. Let me just finish, Tracy. I don't want to live in a society where people don't even have control over their emotion. They don't even have control, and they'll justify doing whatever crazy things they want to do just because they have a gun. I'm sorry. I don't want to live in that situation. And what happened last night, two, 3 days ago, was just a kid that was frustrated of his situation sexually, was frustrated with the situation with women, was frustrated I couldn't get somebody, and he explodes. Because he never got somebody, a father or somebody telling him that it's normal to be rejected, it's normal that some women are going to say no, and that doesn't mean that you're less of a man because somebody said no. He basically
Stanley had mental issues. He had some serious mental issues,
yes.
So you just telling him
I
to stop was not going to stop him.
He had a mental issue, but a lot of men are feeling what he felt. A lot of men are feeling what he felt. A lot of men.
A lot of women
feel that they approve. No, there are some men who will never. You will never find out. And a lot of guys say, "Oh, he was such a nice guy." Who will explode on you because their life are, "I can't get any woman. How come I can't get any woman? I seem to be a nice person. How come this jerk or this jerk is having a woman and I can't?" A lot of men have that issue. You don't know it, Tracy, because you're a woman. You don't know what it is to be rejected every time.
Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, Eric.
I said life's not fair, and you can't go around killing people just because you can't get a girlfriend.
But the thing about mental illness is a person does not cope, nor their brain functions like a normal person would. They do not know how to cope very well in society. But I do have a question, and I'm not knocking Governor Kasich for doing so, but what was the purpose of expanding Medicaid for the purpose of mentally ill people being able to get insurance when they can't get the help that they need because psychologists and psychiatrists are very far, few in between here in Ohio? It's very difficult
what?
For them to get the services they
hold
need.
Hold on. Let me answer your question because I sit on the Turning Point board. You have to understand, Diva, that there are many, many psychiatrists, psychologists in private practice that do not accept Medicaid and Medicare. They just don't. And they
exactly.
have the right not to do that. But there are many that do. And there are a lot of boards, and and I don't know now about in Columbus, but here where we are, we have the MRDD, we have the 29 board, and then we also have Turning Point. And those are all agencies, and then we have D&E counseling for young children. There are a lot of behavioral health and clinical counseling places that you can go to. That's why they come on with us.
No,
and
they're not.
Hold
on, Tracy.
Diva.
No, they're not. I'm even coming across people in my own mental illness
Diva.
Awareness page where they are asking me where can they get help in
Diva.
Different cities
why
in Columbus,
Diva, why
in
call,
Ohio.
Why don't you call somebody and ask me where do you go in Columbus, and then I'll have to find out from, because there is a network of just agencies that do nothing but deal with indigents, and they deal with behavioral health. And they're in Columbus, and they're there in Toledo, and they're in Ohio. They're all over the place. So there are people that will deal
with
you.
I'm not saying that they're not. What I'm saying is their work cases are so overloaded that you can't get in to see them.
But you can.
That's the problem
and,
we're running
can.
Into.
Diva,
when you
and what
have
I'm
a
saying is call me off the air, and I will give you a list of places in Columbus that deal with indigents.
I'm pretty sure I have the same list that you have.
I'm quite sure you don't.
I'm pretty sure I do, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is very, very difficult.
Facts don't mean anything to liberals, Tracy.
Hey,
I'm talking about the far left-wing liberals. I'm not talking about
here
the
here we go again
people.
With Jeff.
Oh,
and
I'm
and Jeff, then away.
I'm talking the far left-wing, and they don't listen. That's what it's always about. They argue you blue in the face about something you know about. Be quiet, Stanley. About something that you know about. You sit on the board of one of these things. You deal with this stuff all the time from the inside, but you don't know nothing because I know because I'm a liberal. I'm on the left side of the moon.
Jeff.
I can't take that reasoning.
Jeff.
I mean, that's really just too much.
Yes, you can. Woo.
All weekend.
It's Tuesday.
All weekend.
Listen, no, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't all weekend.
Yes, it was. Don't tell me. It was all weekend. I've been dealing with this all weekend.
No more than anybody else.
Oh, no.
No. Facebook has nothing to do with liberals. You try to change the world on something crazy.
No,
exactly. Jeff wants everybody
out.
I sat in a room full of liberals on Saturday, and I'm not gonna call no names, but I'm gonna tell you who they are. And I walk into the room, and instead of them saying my name is Tracy, I walk in the room and they said, this is Tracy, she's a Republican. I'm like, well, do I look like a Republican? I look like everybody else in the room. So why do we have to announce that I'm a Republican?
I get that every day.
And so they wanted to have a conversation about politics. Mm-hmm. And I'm really trying to lay low. I told them, don't I look like a Democrat? Hold on just a second. I got to take your call. I got Dr. D. Banks right in the studio with me. We're going to talk about infectious diseases in a few minutes. And, boy, she's going to give us some information that we really need to know because guess what? There's some new stuff out there. There's some old stuff out there. And there's some stuff that you need to know so that you can keep yourself protected so that you can be as liberal and as wacky and as conservative and as dingy as you want to be.
Break out the hand sanitizer, everybody.
No. Everything don't need to be sanitized. No, Jeff. Alabama, what's going on? You need some lotion.
I was just listening to you guys talk about the shooting, and the guy seemed very, I guess, lonely, and he talked about having money and having this, and he still can't get a woman. And really, I'm going to just say, he has mental issues. It sounds like a lot of guys are just lame and don't know how to talk to women, and it they become social outcasts a lot of times, and this leads to certain behaviors. Now, going and killing people, you got real deep issues, but I think, like Stanley was saying, a lot of guys aren't willing, and I think that's part of being a man, is you have to be willing to accept that rejection from a woman. You have to be man enough to walk up to a female, talk, have a conversation. It's on us as men to do that. And if we can't do that, you can't turn around and be bitter towards blonde women. I've never dated a white woman, but I can't stand blonde.
What are you saying, Jeff? Everybody ain't like you?
The man was crazy. It had nothing to do with it.
I'm not saying I understand he was crazy, but in his manifesto, what he was saying was, the point he was making about women, I feel like a lot of guys don't know how to talk to women, and that leads to a lot of negative behavior, not just killing, but in other areas. People lash out in all kind of ways when they feel like they can't obtain something. And you have to invest time and energy and sometimes money into learning how to get over that in all areas if you face an obstacle. And a lot of guys
I've got to take a break in just a minute, and I've got to go talk to Dr. Banks. But listen here, you know, I want to get back to that, but I have one question to ask everybody before I go to my break. When I look at what's going on with men talking to women and women talking to men, is today, and I probably shouldn't do this, but is today we're in a society where nice guys aren't wanted?
No, I'm just sitting here because I didn't want to talk on the phone and drive. Take care.
Who is this?
Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. I pulled off the side of the road, and there's a gentleman,
Bonnie,
that stopped to see if I was okay. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's so, yes.
But I don't want to
drive. We
I'm
understand.
Doing good.
You're one of the good people.
Well,
you're
someday.
Not like the rest of us.
some days. I want to say that I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question, though. Do you think that this man would have lashed out without a gun and still done the crime? I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He would have done it no matter what.
Out. He would have lashed
exactly.
out. He was just fed up.
I mean,
no,
he
would have
used a knife.
But my issue is,
I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Frenzy.
Diva.
Yeah, he stabbed his roommate, and then he tried to move some people down with the car, too. So,
and he stabbed his roommate because he was jealous of them getting women and things like that also. So, you know.
Well, wasn't this guy's mom Asian?
You have to look at this young man what had money.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that some females will date anything under the sun for the sake of money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he still had a problem with getting females he still had a problem attracting females, it just lets you know there was something off about him. He wasn't that bad looking of a young man.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't overweight. He wasn't sloppy.
Yeah,
but
maybe he was.
Hold on. Is something in his personality that mm-hmm. makes it difficult for women to be attracted to him. There's just something off, and women do tend to have that sixth sense that there's just something off. And when a person suffers from paranoia and psychosis a lot, they tend to alienate people.
Wait, Diva. It's bigger than this. There's something off of also women and men not being honest what they want. Is there something off of both gender not being honest and having women play games on men and then being surprised that a man could have
told his name? You're looking at this from a normal aspect. This is
no,
not
I'm
a normal
looking at
person
from a normal
you are dealing
because
with. You
I know
no, no,
friends
no.
who are feeling the same way that he is.
Okay, but when you're dealing with mental illness,
Stanley,
you cannot... You cannot look at a person who suffers from mental illness and say that you operate the same
yes,
and deal with
I understand the
normal
mental illness,
person does.
Diva,
if
I understand
money,
the mental illness, but it's
say,
a bigger picture than that. That's
movies.
What you don't understand, Diva. It's a bigger picture than that. Because
what do you mean it's a bigger picture
it's
than
a bigger
that?
Picture
we're,
than just
we're discussing
that. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You had something
illness.
To do with
we're not
the
discussing the relationship dynamics between normal adults. Well, that's
no, no,
the,
yes,
that's
we
not the,
yes, we
the
are. Yes, we are.
No,
sorry.
We're not.
There are many people, Diva, you got to get a Diva. There are many people who agree 100% what he said. Many guys I know who will tell you, I agree with what he said. So let's stop acting like it doesn't happen, Diva. Maybe it doesn't happen to you.
I didn't say
I
didn't say it doesn't
like
happen.
That,
I
agree to what he said.
Stanley. I have to reject guys on a daily basis, so I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
There you go. So
but there's a difference.
That's what I say to women. You don't understand that part. You don't know what it is to be rejected. And until a man doesn't know what it feels, until the man doesn't get over the fact that, yes, you are going to get rejected, that's going to be a big problem for a lot of men. Women, you never go through this. Ever.
That's
why you never approach women. That's why you
Stanley,
never
women,
approach
women
men.
Women get rejected, Stanley. Women get rejected.
Yeah, women, I know plenty of women that get rejected.
Oh,
okay?
Please. How many
women
do you know approach men, Diva? How many women in general approach men? One in a million? How many women approach
men?
We're not talking
how
about,
many?
We're not
how
talking
many
about
women?
Approaching
men.
I don't know a lot of women who approach men. I see a lot of women who want to approach men but never do because they're fear of the rejection and they don't want to feel the rejection that we do.
Okay, and the difference between a normal guy getting rejected and someone who is dealing with paranoia and psychosis and who does not know how to cope in society is different. That's the discussion we're having.
Got,
we're not discussing the dynamics of normal female
relationships. That guy got pissed off the edge. I mean, anything would have pissed. This guy was just psycho. So
exactly.
We're all going to agree. Nobody knows Diva. Nobody's going to fall disagreeing with you on that. Nobody's saying that this guy's
nobody's disagreeing with you. With
yeah.
The guy was crazy. We are saying that the rejecting part, a lot of men, normal men, will not deal with that. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know some men who will basically explode on your ass, and there's not that same way will kill you. But are very like, man, I wish
a lot of men. Stanley, tell the truth. This is how a lot of dogs are created. This is how men that dog women out. That's how they get created a lot of times because when they were young and they didn't know how to talk to women, they would get rejected so much. Then when they finally get their swag together, so to speak, they start dogging, they treat, they hate women, and they dog them. That's what they do.
Yeah. And Diva's acting is just mental ailment. No, no, it's normal man who does that, too. Trust me.
I'm not talking about him dealing with rejection of women. That's not what I was...
The biggest thing that he had a problem with, that's something we need to talk about.
Looking at his bigger issue, which was his mental illness. Not the fact that he was getting rejected by women, because that was
just...
He felt
that somebody appreciated him and was so significant. That was his issue.
AM600, the number 347-945-5229, and... I know we're doing a lot today. We slid through a whole lot of stuff, and we're going to keep on rolling. In studio with me is Dr. D. Banks Bright, and she is from UPMC Horizon, which is a hospital here in Pennsylvania, because we butt up against Ohio and Pennsylvania. It's right on that line for those of you who are not in our area. And she is an infectious disease doctor. And I asked her to come on because there's new diseases. I think is it MERS?
MERS.
So what's the, I'm going to call it MRSA because isn't that the hospital one?
That's the hospital one. That's the staff. Right.
So I call it MRSA, and they said, no, it's something
MERS.
Else. Why do you want to name it so close?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear yourself?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's my problem about abbreviations. First of all, I don't like abbreviations, and they use them all the time in the hospital and in the medical field. You know, I guess it's easy.
Hold on,
just
pull her back, Mike, so she's comfortable.
It's
move down and back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because she's a little girl.
I am. I'm trying to.
She's trying to call her.
So, and I guess it's easier than saying Middle East Respiratory Syndrome or methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. It's just, but when you pronounce it, it all melds together. But yes, they are definitely different. MERS is at least from what we know now, a new disease. Not caused by a virus that we've known about, not a new virus, but a different species, if you will, of virus that started in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia area, the United Arab Emirates, and it's a respiratory tract infection that started there that we think came originally from animals, camels, in particular, and there have been several deaths in the Middle East, but more importantly to us, it is now in the United States. And at last count, you know, I didn't check the CDC this morning, there were two cases. Both of them came from Saudi Arabia. But, you know, this is the thing about infectious diseases that, you know, when I give lectures, you know, we're a global society now. I mean, you can be on a plane this morning and be in South Africa, you know, tomorrow morning. So it's easy to see how, you know, people get on planes and there's no negative pressure in airplanes, and so all that recycled air, everybody's breathing.
Oh, we're all breathing it together, huh?
We're all breathing the same air.
So there are two cases in the is it airborne?
Well, it seems.
And how? And because the camel was not on the plane.
No, right. But it, you know, at first, this is a little tricky, and you know, I still think the jury is out in terms of transmission. But at least it's transmitted by close contact with people. Now they haven't said specifically, as far as I know. Although Sanjay Gupta, I saw on his site last week, that they are saying that it's person-to-person, but I'm not sure that the CDC has yet specifically said that it's person-to-person spread. But it's spread rather by close contact with individuals who have it. But then I'm trying to figure out, well, like, how is that not person-to-person? But they're not calling it that yet.
Well, my question is, how'd they get it from the camel?
Well, you know, diseases that go from animals to humans is not uncommon. I mean, look at HIV/AIDS. That started in an
rhesus
animal.
Monkey in,
right.
In Africa.
Macaque monkey in Africa. And the deal about animal transmission, you know, people eat animals. They eat brains of animals. They eat... animals carry, well, sometimes, here's the deal. Animals carry bacteria and viruses that live in what we call a symbiotic relationship with them. Something happens, you know, when we, in the environment, in the ecology, where they jump from animal to man. Now, whether that's through respiratory contact, you know, look at the avian flu situation with birds. Right.
Okay.
So there are multiple ways of transmission, but... jumping from animals to humans is not uncommon at all.
That is so strange to me, because we have much less interaction between camels and men now than we had in the past, say 100 years or so, a couple hundred years. And this never raised its head before, but now, is it because our immune systems and the way we feed ourselves are just breaking down, or is it because of, that these things are just regenerating themselves and changing?
Well, this may have been a virus that has always been in camels, and like other diseases that have always been in animals, and like you say, our immune system, for whatever reason, may be down. The virus may have changed a little bit in its genetic form so that now it's more capable of transmitting itself to humans. I don't know that we know everything we need to know about that. But in terms of, you're right, I mean, the Saudis got very rich off of oil, and so a lot of the Bedouins and the desert folks are no longer desert folks anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
drive Mercedes.
The United Arab Emirates, they're no longer,
riding camels.
The camels have become the big Benzes and the Rolls and so forth. But it's scary to me because some of the people who have died, just like Ebola, which we can touch on a little bit, are the healthcare workers. And for myself, you know, I've always sort of felt, you know, I couldn't work if I was afraid, and I couldn't do my job if I was afraid every time I turned around and there was a different disease. But what is bothering me about some of these viruses that are killing the healthcare workers that are taking care of patients.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, well, Ebola, you know, a lot of the people that have died have been the healthcare workers. In fact, there was just a couple of cases in Sierra Leone recently, within the last week, where healthcare, one of the people who died from Ebola was a healthcare worker. You know, there's been this outbreak in Guinea.
Okay.
And if you look at the map, Guinea and Liberia and Sierra Leone all come to a point. And so there have been a few cases that have been found in Liberia and a few cases in Sierra Leone. Well, Ebola is, you know, level four, you know, class level four for isolation. And it's been the healthcare workers, many of the healthcare workers that have died.
Wow.
This, yeah. Mm-hmm. And MERS, too. Many of the people who have passed on who have died have been the healthcare workers. But there's no vaccine. There's no treatment. It's supportive care, and supportive care when you have a respiratory illness means that you're put on a ventilator and you just
die out.
Send some big giant prayers up, right?
Wow.
And
why?
If you have other underlying comorbid illnesses like, you know, chronic obstructive lung disease, mm-hmm. or you're a smoker, or you know, people are on all kinds of immunosuppressives today. All you have to do is look on television and you see people on Humira,
right.
for different diseases. I mean, a lot of these drugs that we're using today cause immunosuppression. And so a lot of people who have rheumatoid arthritis, Phil Mickelson is advertising a drug that is an immunosuppressive drug.
Uh-huh.
People on cancer who have cancer on chemotherapy. So, you know, a lot of people's immune system that you might not know about is down.
It's weakening.
Right.
By the drugs that you're taking,
right.
to stay alive for something else.
And I'm not trying to leap on to other diseases, but you're seeing a reemergence of diseases that we thought we had at nick with vaccines. And, you know, the measles virus outbreak that came out in Columbus and so forth, we're finding that our immunity is waning.
What? So it's the medicines that we're taking,
it's the foods
that we're eating.
I think that, you know, the jury is still out on that.
Because there is a lot, and a lot of people are talking about, you know, if you look at the side effects, some of the side effects kill you.
Of
the drugs.
Well, you know, of these drugs that I just mentioned.
Yes, but any of them.
Well,
I laugh
with my colleagues, and it's like, would you take a drug where they come on and say, oh, this is a great drug, but then they spend 30 minutes telling you the side effects.
It's going to make you go up and look like a little old lady and
But don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that.
Great drug, but 30 minutes of side effects. So.
You won't be depressed anymore, though. As an infectious disease doctor, I want to ask about AIDS and
mm-hmm.
STDs.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask about AIDS first.
Mm-hmm.
We're down, except we're up in the black community, if I'm not mistaken, still.
Yeah, you know, we've made a lot of strides with HIV/AIDS, but, I mean, there's still healthcare disparity in terms of HIV/AIDS in the black community.
Why?
It's still, I mean, I still think access to care And I think some of it, you know, we have to take ownership in our own problems sometimes. Not sometimes, all the time. We should all take ownership. So, you know, I have seen situations where, you know, there's some noncompliance of not adhering to the therapy. I'm not going to create a broad brush for just us as African Americans, but I think people as a whole have to take ownership in their disease. But
and I will agree with that. I was diagnosed with MS.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take care of it.
People have to take ownership in their own disease. I mean, you can't expect your doctor to be the maternal, paternal, end-all, be-all.
Yes, you can. Y'all are it. That's why you're the doctor.
No, we're not. I try to empower my patients with, I mean, I don't like, I shouldn't say I don't like, I try to discourage them coming with, you know, three or four notebooks of what they got off the computer.
Okay.
Because there was on the Today Show this morning, they said 90% of what's on Wikipedia in terms of medical is wrong.
That is true. I can believe that.
Right?
Web doctors.
I'm like, duh. I think. We were getting back to healthcare disparities in terms of HIV/AIDS. Yes, there's still a disparity. African-American men, gay and straight, and women. I have a particular interest from an epidemiological standpoint in our African-American women, you know, and, I mean, this is all anecdotal, you know. Don't run out and say, call the CDC and say Dr. Banks is, you know, the world authority, but I'm just, anecdotal experience, I just find that our African-American women don't do well as men, and not because the medicines don't, but there are a lot of other issues that they have to deal with, you know, children and getting them to the, just trying to get to the doctor, you know, they've got to worry about everybody else in the family but themselves.
Just women issues as with anything else, because
yeah.
We always put everyone else before ourselves.
You know, they've got to find a babysitter for the child or those kinds of things. So there's just a lot of anecdotally issues that lends itself to maybe not being as compliant as they could be.
Dr. D, let me ask you this, and really breaking this down.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get people to start taking responsibility for themselves? How do we begin this process? Because I'm talking to you and
well, I know you'd like to say because we have a big socialistic society where everybody's spoon fed, right?
No, I'm not going to say that. What I'm saying is we've been indoctrinated
mm-hmm.
to wait for somebody else
it's
to take
true.
To do, it is. Whether it be my physical fitness.
Right.
Whether it be my sexual health.
Right.
Whether it be my financial wealth.
Right.
Whether it be my education,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a microcosm and it's continuing to grow. And we continue to see, whether we're talking about infectious diseases,
mm-hmm.
whether we're talking about, you know, participation in as American citizenry.
Right.
How do we begin to say, okay, I'm a firm believer right now in getting all of your medical testing now.
Right. Well, you know, you. There's truth in jest when you made that comment about doctors. Well, yeah, you guys know everything, and you know, I think patients have relied too long on, like I said, that paternalistic, maternalistic attitude of physicians. You come and you sit there, and then everything is done for you, and you're told what to do. I don't think that there are enough programs where our patients feel that they can empower themselves or become empowered to take control of their own medical health. There's so many obstacles in the way. First of all is your doctor will get an attitude and then you will feel like, well, you know, he or she won't take care of me.
True.
And I think it starts with us to the extent that you can't do that. I mean, if I try really hard to have my patients know as much about their disease as I do. And my sister just with another woman, not trying to hawk her book, but she and another physician in California wrote a book on directed to patients, particularly targeted to patients empowering themselves about navigating themselves through the healthcare system.
Are
we
you
don't do that.
Tracy,
and,
can I ask a question?
Yeah, hold on, Stanley.
And we don't do that. We don't... we don't know how to navigate through the system because there's so many barriers and obstacles that just make you say, oh, the heck with it, I'm not going to do it. You pick up the phone and call the pharmacy or, you know, call the hospital to try to figure stuff out. And it's just very, I don't know if you all have found that, but navigating through the healthcare system is a bear.
It really is.
If you don't have any idea, it is terrible.
It really is.
It's
and
bear.
And then there are physicians that care and physicians that don't care. I mean,
yeah.
when I was diagnosed with MS, the first physician I went to, he gave me a bunch of books and said, which one do you want to take? And I said,
right.
Huh?
Exactly.
And I went home. I was feeling okay, and so I said none of the above.
And I don't want to cast a wide net on the young physicians that are coming out today. You know, as you get older, you're always looking back and say, well, you know, when I was young. But I just don't see, and I don't want to cast a wide net, but because of technology and so forth, the younger physicians are losing that bedside manner, that old, quote-unquote, doctor personal touch. I find myself having to really hold on to it. When I walk in the office now, we're all live, all on computers. So when you walk in the office now, there's a computer terminal there. You walk in high, and then you immediately turn your back to the patient and start typing. And you turn your head and talk, and turn your head
That's true.
I mean, what kind of bedside manner is that? You're talking to a robot.
That's true.
I wasn't trained that way. So I was able to see medicine. But these young doctors that are being trained today, that's all they're going to know. And what kind of
hands-on connection, personal
touch are they going to learn? And who from but me? But, you know, I'm not going to be around forever. And it's going to be a completely technological. So, you know, I think these programs, the Affordable Health Care Act, has done great things. It's, you know, I mean, just from the standpoint of I am happy that children are covered. I do think that this is a country where I have a lot of patients who cannot pay for medications. And, yes, there are problems with the ACA. But one of the problems that I see, and I don't know whether it's good or bad, I mean, we talk about this all the time in medicine, you know, all this technology that we have, we're driving ourselves further and further away from patients. I mean, like I said, when I walk in the office, hi, and then I immediately sit down because I got to type in all these check marks because if I don't, we won't get paid.
That's true.
Precisely.
Won't get paid.
That's true.
Those are the drawbacks because I think the program is good for, I think that, no, let's put it like this, I don't think that the ACA is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in this country we need to have something that we take care of our citizens with.
Yeah.
Because we are the most powerful people in the world. Germany has a system. Why? Because we rent space in that country and pay for it for them. So it's sort of like we need to do something for our people without taking away the incentive for them to still be able to, educate themselves and attain.
I agree.
We have to change that. Mm-hmm. We have to change that conversation again.
Yeah, I agree. And our infant mortality in this country is high. I mean, compared to other countries like Scandinavia and so forth. Why? We're one of the richest countries in the world.
But
why do we have infant mortality?
But some of it is neonatal care.
Right.
Some of it is having access to it and not taking advantage of it.
Right, that's absolutely
true. Some of it is the way we have indoctrinated people to not take ownership.
Right.
All of us, and I can say myself, are somewhat guilty of being lax and taking ownership of certain areas of our health, whether it be getting your checkups.
Right.
Because there'll be free mammograms all over the place, but you won't go get one.
Or not even knowing what medicines you're on. You come in the office, the doctor's office, and you bring this bag of pills, and you haven't the remotest idea of what you're on.
And nor why.
Or why you're on them.
You know, we're killing them. Sometimes I say, we're killing people with pills.
Stanley, your mic is on.
Yes, perfect. Great to hear the doctor. I just want to ask one question to the doctor. How come doctors don't have any more courses on nutrition and the food that we take? Because I found out through a friend of mine who's doing doctoring, he just has one course on nutrition. When I find that deplorable, when doctors should be basically people who know as much of nutrition as the pharmaceutical and everything, because I truly believe it's the food that we ate that basically is the problem. And when you go to doctors, they always go pharmacy, 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 but they never try to resolve the solution by saying, let me find out what you eat. Let's change your diet. Let's do this. Let's do that. But they always go pharmacy. How come there's no more course?
Stanley, Stanley, I got to take a break. Hurry up. I want her to answer before I go.
You are absolutely correct. There are only a few medical schools in the country that include nutrition and homeopathic medicines. One is in Arizona where Dr. I think his name is Weil is, and I think Yale has one. But you're right, that's not taught in medical schools, and part of the problem, like, for example, with diabetics, my diabetic patients, we don't know what to eat. You have no idea what a carbohydrate is, what a protein, how much you need for this, that, and the other. So you're absolutely right. That is a huge portion that's lacking in the training of physicians today. I don't have any answers. I think medical schools realize that now, and they're trying to do a better job of including nutrition programs. But, you know, that's crammed into learning anatomy, physiology, chemistry, and all this other stuff that you have to try to take care of somebody from a medical standpoint. But I completely agree with you.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, she was mentioning about bedside manner. And you know what? Patients can help themselves with that. I mean, I have a woman doctor. I tell her when I walk in, you got nice hair. Or you got a great walk. Or, you know.
You know what?
And,
440.
Then they connect with you. And then that's it. And she's afraid of you the next time you come in.
We need to get some mental health counseling for the 440.
I
got to
take a break. I'll be right back.
Hello.
I hate when doctors walk in the room. They be like, so how are you feeling? Well, obviously I'm not feeling too great. I'm sitting here with you.
Yeah, but the problem I have with what you're saying, Diva, we should have preventive. You shouldn't go to the doctor to feel that you're feeling bad. You should go to the doctor when you're feeling good and you want to feel even better. That's what I wish that we were living in society.
Well, I go to the doctor, preventive and whatever. And if I'm feeling horrible at the moment, I call your office and say, look, I'm having this problem, need to see the doctor. And the doctor reads my chart before she comes in. I've already talked to the tech, the PA about it. Why you come in and talk about so? How are you feeling? That's stupid. That's redundant to me.
I agree. I understand. Wow. I'm so happy that the doctor tells the truth because, man, nutrition should be the something that doctors should know about, and I'm so shocked when they don't know about that.
Hey, Stanley, I have a question. This is Bonnie.
Go ahead.
Do you do sprouts? Do you do seed sprouts in your own? Like you live in New York.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you have a garden where
you
work?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because that would be limited.
And I cultivate tomatoes, cucumbers,
okay,
and things like that.
So I want to know, do you have when you do the seed sprouts, you know, you can do them on your kitchen counter.
Okay.
They are selling in Mother Earth or something,
okay,
a recyclable plastic. How do you think that would work? I mean, you know, because plastics have a lot of garbage in them.
Okay.
Do you think that would be a safe product, or do you think something else should be used?
That's a good question.
Because, you know, recyclable plastic, you don't know what's in that. You know, they make carpet out of recyclable plastics.
True that. True.
You know, water bottles and things.
Yeah.
And we're talking about diseases, and we're talking about this kind of stuff. And did you guys see that in we have a call. There's always a caller that's, I think, from Minnesota. One of the guys calls Tracy's show. He's from Minnesota, I think.
Okay.
Did you see that they are they're putting a ban on all antibacterial items, anything? Soap, hand sanitizer, shampoos, you know, anything. It's totally banned in that state. Did anyone else see that?
No, I didn't see that. Wow. Why are they doing that? Are they saying that it's...
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That was just, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I can understand if it got into the water systems and the recycling, you know, because in places where you live, Stanley, unless you live in the country in New York, that's recycled water, right?
Yes, it's recycled water.
How would that affect your drinking water if they can't? You know, it might break down the good bacteria too, right?
It's getting very complex. It's getting very, I'm telling you, I'm very, very mad against the FDA that's not even doing their job. I'm very mad when I hear some people eating a burger and dying because they eat a burger or eat something. I don't understand. I'm very mad against them. The more you read it, the more you're asking, where is the protection against the people? There's nothing protecting us when it comes to the food industry. Nothing.
No. Well, what do you think about that Sprout? I mean, they're probably going to sell a gazillion of those things.
I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look at it.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Maybe somebody else on the line has one. I mean, if anybody has one of those.
Diva?
I mean,
up here? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm trying to
do. Diva, what?
Yeah.
I'm the least healthy eater I know. I mean, I would not have a Sprout, whatever she's talking about. There's no.
Alabama? I guess it's not there.
Well, I made violet jelly last, actually Saturday morning, and I agree. You have to put in. I mean, I haven't. I can't. I shouldn't even say it. I'm not going to. But I really do believe with that. You really do become strong by what you put in your body. You really do.
Oh yeah, yeah. I truly believe that.
On top of reading, meditation, prayer, exercise, whatever you put into your body, it's a plus. It's a plus.
It helps tremendously, especially, you know, some people need to have colon cleansing also. Some people can't even go to the bathroom and they're surprised. And like, I didn't go to the bathroom for 2 days or 3 days. I'm like, look, this is not good if you've not been going to the bathroom for two days.
Hey, Stanley, I think we've crossed the line there.
Yeah, well.
I don't think people want it, but you're right. You're right.
So
you're right.
It's like, I truly agree with you. We need to find out what good food we need to put inside our body. But the problem is when we go to experts, doctors, and things like that we depend on and tell them, you're supposed to know those things and you're supposed to tell me those things, they don't even know it. And the doctor just...
You know why? Because they're getting money from the pharmaceutical companies to keep their clinics open.
Bingo.
Some of them.
Bingo. You're still right. And that's where I have a problem.
And the pharmaceutical companies have lobbyists who work with the insurance companies. The lobbyists.
Is the business aspirations talking about gave up on them? I mean,
yeah,
I know it ain't nothing to do.
I agree with you completely. It's a business thing. Like you said, I truly, do you know that there's some places where doctors get studied and everything, the pharmaceutical company is responsible for paying the study for the doctors?
Yes. There are certain medical universities that actually pay for the tuition to create their doctors.
Can you imagine that? No.
It doesn't make sense to me.
That doesn't make sense to me. That means, like, what? And what do you think the pharmacy's going to ask them? They're going to ask them, you better give them that pill. You better give them that pill.
But it's just like, what, you know, if it happened, it happened. Don't, it don't.
Well, you know, the other thing about it is if you work for a company and they want to further your education and they pay for it,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of obligated to your mother company.
Yeah.
To do what they require of you. It's called business. You know, you're an employee. So you're actually being bought and sold as a doctor.
Yeah, I truly agree with you. And I don't understand how they go very – you have a problem. Any problem you have in health, as soon as they see the problem and everything, oh, you use this pill. I'm like, wait. Before we go to the pill, is there any other way we could fix this problem before the pill? And a lot of doctors say, no, they don't understand. They don't find out. They don't say, let me find out. Is there another way I can fix this problem before I use the pill? The pill should be the last solution, not the first one.
Yeah. Hey, do you grow herbs, Stanley?
Yes,
anybody else on the line that's – does anybody grow herbs or anything like that?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a major – there's a lot – I mean, there, people just don't have a clue what they can grow in their backyard. And,
and
people don't find out what's the best nutrition that they can have. I just found out this year about kale. I never knew about kale. What the hell's kale?
Oh, kale. Oh, I have a recipe that you guys would love. It's meatless. It's just, it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious.
I never knew about kale until I read and
it has like 800, isn't it like 800 milligrams of what is it? Now I'm going to mess up. I'm trying to remember what I read. 800 milligrams of like iron and vitamin A, vitamin D.
Oh,
I mean, it's like, it's like a super loaded antioxidant. I mean, it's amazing.
At a hospital now, right?
It's one of the most nutritious vegetables there is. Kale.
Yeah. And you can
grow it. I didn't know about color.
Yeah. And you can grow it in practically nothing.
Yeah. It's, and people, when I tell them, did you eat kale? What the hell is kale?
You
I don't
like
know what kale.
Got like janitorial and maintenance men at that facility.
So.
They got janitorial guys and stuff at that facility. Oh, it ain't that big.
No.
White boy. Oh, yeah. Bad out.
We need to get some people of the FDA. I agree with you, and this is something Americans need to put their heads together because it's not normal that we have kids who are being obese. It's not normal that our generation, the next generation is going to die younger than us. Can you imagine that?
Well, how many siblings did you have? When you were being raised, how many siblings did you have, Stanley, in your family? I mean, did you have? Were you in a large family or in a small family?
Yeah, I was in a large family.
Yes, me too. Do you think? Don't you think that you learn more from being? I mean, don't you think you it requires more, and you learn from others within your own family when you have a lot of people in there?
Yes, but I think that like you said. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the family was more tight. There was more closeness between the family. There was more like, you know, it wasn't just my mom and
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Depression, and unemployment.
There's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. Where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt the ice.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. I know that was a long break. Sorry about that. I've got my friend in the studio, and, you know, I get sidetracked. And so I am here with Dr. D. Banks Bright, and she is an infectious disease doctor. And Dr. Banks, before I go too far, I want you to tell people who you are, what your study is, and a little bit about your resume, your background.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from North Carolina. I have to get that out of there.
Get it out of the way.
It's Tar Heel. I did my medical school training at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland and training here at the Cleveland Clinic internship and then University Hospitals of Cleveland so long ago. And I've been at various hospitals, but I've been at UPMC Horizon for now 11 years.
Wow.
So I've been there for a while. I used to be at Sharon Regional and UPMC, but now just at UPMC. So I'm an infectious disease doctor. And I take, you know, people ask me, what do you do? Well, I take care of, we were just talking about some of the diseases that I talked about earlier. But also, what I see huge in my practice is that, I think I mentioned it a little bit, about diabetes is in epidemic proportion in this country. I believe a lot of it is self-induced. And I see a lot of diabetic infections as a result of that.
Yeah,
a lot of diabetic foot infections.
Yeah,
and, you know, when you talk
that's,
about health care and people going to the doctor, that's where I see problems where people will doctor on their feet by themselves because they don't want to come to the doctor. They'll soak their feet in, quote-unquote, Epsom salt. And I really need somebody to tell me what Epsom salt does. It must do something great because everybody does it.
Yeah,
everybody
Epsom salt
does it.
Draws out, well, it draws out the... like swellings or infections. It's a what do you call it? A cystic or what? And it pulls out whatever. It pulls things out of.
Well, a lot of people use
it.
They swear by it.
Well, enemas as well. Epsom salt.
Like with the So, but what happens is if it doesn't get better faster, and with diabetics, their infection spreads so fast, by the time they come to me, now they have to come to the hospital.
Let me ask you this. Before I'm going to stop you right there in the middle of your resume, I'm going to put a pause right there.
I'm going to call me everybody.
People that have, that are diabetic, it is a manifold disease. If you take ownership of it.
If you take ownership of it, right.
I have family members that have been diabetic for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
They watch their insulin levels. They watch their blood sugar levels.
Mm-hmm.
They pay attention. They wear shoes on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go barefoot.
Right,
they go see their physician regularly.
Right.
I have watched people die.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From
diabetes.
And they call it complications of diabetes.
Right. Because it affects every organ system.
And I watched them go blind, I watched them go crazy, and I watched them be amputated.
Limbs and stuff. Right.
And I don't understand that either they, because I honestly, and before I saw a relative of mine die from diabetes, I never paid attention to it.
Right.
But when I saw her go through this process,
I said, wow,
this is what happens when you don't take your insulin. This is what happens when you don't take care of it. This is what happens when you don't deal with the circulation in your body.
Right.
And I watch your legs go from pliable to bricks.
And you have to be vigilant. I mean, but diabetes is one of those, and I said a lot of it I think is self-induced. We, you know, have a lot of issues with childhood obesity where I believe it's starting to start now because you're having young kids who are coming up with type 2 diabetes. But, you know, managing diabetes, one of the first things we tell our patients is to lose weight.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, we all know it's hard to lose that 5, that 10. And the gentleman who was on the phone a little bit ago talking about nutrition,
oh my God.
Therein is the problem that people don't know what to...
Hold on. Stand. Put your phones on.
That's 269.
I got it. Go ahead. Good, Dr. D.
The gentleman who was talking about nutrition, therein lies part of the problem because diabetics don't know what to eat. You know, and then everybody can't run to Whole Foods and buy groceries. You know, the economy
costs too much.
The economy is bad. You know, I'm not running to Whole Foods, not that I have anything, but you need to know what choices to make, and therein lies the problems that a lot of diabetics don't know. But I agree with you. You know, you look at people like I don't want to necessarily make her the poster child, but I mean, she does have diabetes, and she has had type 1 diabetes for all her life, and I mean, there are a lot of other people. Halle Berry, but there are a lot of other people who have. Mary Tyler Moore is a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Who have managed, but I mean, you know, they have resources and money and so forth, but I'm not trying to make them the poster child, but But a lot of it is doing what you're supposed to do, doing what your doctor tells you to do, being compliant. And compliant is a big word. I mean, if you come to the doctor's office and, you know, oh, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to, and your hemoglobin A1C, which is one of the numbers that we follow, is 10. Well, no, you haven't. Well, no, you haven't.
Yes, you know, we did up until the night before we go to the doctor.
But doctor,
it happens all the time.
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on. Let her finish. Go ahead.
No, but that was my point, that we don't, and that thing about ignoring little things like little ingrown toenails and, you know, then you come in now and your foot is blown up with an infection. Well, by that time, it's a little late. So I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer.
Well, the question I have here, interjection, is it, I think, just this mass thought of the GMOs that we're eating, because I know that one of the reasons why I can't eat wheat is because they have altered wheat so bad that once wheat had 8 chromosomes to it, now it has 60-something.
Wow.
And so when you have all of these things and they've changed that drastically, I can't tolerate. You know, and so
I agree that we have no idea what we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I posted some stuff on my Facebook page yesterday about GMOs.
We don't know what we're eating. We don't know. I mean, look at the outbreaks of diseases that pop up at least every month.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one, hamburger, with all the E. coli in it, and, you know, raspberries that carry this, that, and the other. And I agree with you. Food is irradiated.
Yeah.
Food is irradiated, and so I agree with you. We do not know what we're eating, unless you grow your own food and kill your
and
own.
And then you don't know what
and
your
then
own,
you don't
and
know because
you
have
seeds.
Pesticides and you got seeds and stuff, and you don't know how they were.
And if you want to see something, if you want to see something expensive, go and try to buy some organic seeds.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because
you go online.
Well, it's against the law to buy certain of. You can't buy certain corn.
You can
really?
Full organic seeds that have not been genetically modified,
right.
And you go and ask for a premium genetic seed, and see how much that costs. And you're like, that will not be a gift. You buy your own seed.
Wow.
I'll just come and eat.
I am closer and closer to having my garden. This year, because I said I am going to do the tomatoes. Tomatoes to me are just like the staple food of life. I have to have them,
right.
And fresh ones are better than anything else. But the growing food, we don't, you know, our meats are different. I just found a place that does grass-fed beef. Well, I want to do that, but I don't know whether what they ate. The grass they ate.
So,
you got
to mortgage the house again.
Here we go.
And then look at the antibiotics that these animals are being fed. And
yeah.
You wonder why, you know, you talk about diseases that jump from animals to humans and so forth. And we're starting to find, you know, we're eating food. We don't know whether or not these animals have been given antibiotics, and so when somebody has an infection and a bacteria grows and you do susceptibilities and it's already resistant to something,
right.
Well, maybe it's because the meat that they ate, that animal ate some antibiotics that now confers resistance in your body to bacteria that you have. So, you know, it's massive. And when you start to think about the intricacies of it, it sometimes gets, like, depressing, because what can you eat? You know, what's safe?
That's why you eat, y'all.
Well,
so keep on trying to tell y'all.
Yeah, but as well as when they give, like, chicken steroids, steroids prohibit, you know, the antibiotic in your body.
Right.
So, therefore, it goes to help do that a little more.
Right.
It causes resistance to break
down.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. You can't fight it.
How? I mean, this thing, we just started, I stopped you for diabetes, and it is just so big.
Mm-hmm. Massive.
It is so big.
Massive.
And I'm doing the best I can to try to get my weight down,
it's
to get myself
massive.
Healthy, drink
it's
water.
It's just unbelievably massive. I mean, you just... SMH. You just shake your head. And as a physician, every day when you go in the hospital or go in my practice, it's almost one out of five.
Ooh.
And this, again, is anecdotal. I don't take care of children, but from, you know, 18 and above.
That's still a lot.
Right.
It's no long. And now let me ask you this about people that become diabetic because of age.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that? How do they deal with that? Because, you know, they're already, you know, thinning. Their muscle mass is thinning. And the doctor puts them on these diets.
Right.
And they're 85, 86 years old, and they say, well, you're diabetic.
Well, you know, they first of all, there are a lot of other drugs now other than insulin that they put people on. Because
right.
The worst thing that you want is somebody to be hypoglycemic, meaning their blood sugars drop. So you probably, like my mom is a diabetic, and she's on oral agents. And so you probably don't keep quite as tight control as you do with your other patients, because you don't want your elderly patients to blood sugar to drop. Now they pass out, fall, hit their head, break a hip, die, or whatever. So they're handled with kid gloves. They are handled with kid gloves, as opposed to your 40-year-old diabetic that, you know, no, your hemoglobin A1C is 10, so no, you haven't done what you're supposed to be doing. No.
What's a good level for the type 2 person?
Blood sugar.
Yeah, if they're running.
You know, the numbers have changed, and pre-diabetes now is 110, 100 to 110.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The numbers have changed considerably.
How do they change the numbers?
Well, they get a bunch of smart people together and look at the outcomes. You know, I guess they do outcome measures of what diabetes ultimately does, because, you know, you got a lot of people on dialysis.
Yes, quite a few.
You have a lot of people on dialysis who got there because of hypertension and diabetes.
Right.
And so it didn't just happen overnight. These are illnesses that have a chronic course, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. So whereas 20 years ago, diabetes wasn't until you hit about 120, you're pre-diabetic now from 101 to about 110. I'm infectious diseases, so I can't remember the numbers exactly, but it's startling that, you know, they're starting to catch people early on in the course before their blood sugars shoot up to higher levels.
That's what got me, though, because my sugars never were less than that. I mean, I remember when I was in school, in lab school, that, you know, my levels never were below 110, 120.
Well, that's pre-diabetes now.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, smart people have made all these decisions, and I don't know. I mean, when you look at the dialysis that's done in this country, I mean, the dialysis centers are
big money,
huge.
But then that gets into my conspiracy theory about there's no incentive for anybody to be healthy because too many people are stakeholders.
Uh-oh. You know, Dr. Matt said that all the time.
But I say that. I mean,
sure.
There are too many stakeholders for people to – there's no incentive for anybody to be healthy, because if you sit down, if you have a glass of wine and sit down and start writing down all the stakeholders, it's mind-blowing. It's too much money,
too much
of a profit motive out there. And I love my nephrology, and I'm not picking on them. Kidney
Thank
doctors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. When I look at my kidney colleagues and my heart colleagues, what incentive is there – to get people to eat right or to do, because there's too many things that are profiting from that.
Treat the symptom and go from there.
Right.
It's called
nephrology. Dialysis is huge. If you look at the dialysis centers, they're running 24/7.
Did you say nephrology?
Who runs that? Oh, the kidney doctors.
No. That's my new word for the day.
Nephrology.
I ain't gonna lie. I don't know. I found on what a neonatologist was not too long ago.
Neonatal.
Right. For the baby.
For the baby.
Yes.
You know, y'all got
neonatologist.
Nephrology. Okay, I got a new word. Okay.
So,
I'll be smart. I think I'm hanging out with my doctor friends. I'll be real great.
Well, of course, that keeps us in business because we can pronounce all these words. So,
can you spell them? That's the question.
That's another story.
Who just called my name out? Who was that? I heard you. You wanted to say something. Was that Eric or was that Stanley?
Well,
they called my – who was it?
It wasn't me, but anyways, I agree with the doctor. I truly believe that we, like the doctor is saying, that we want people to be sick, and it's because of profit. Because if we were living in a situation that we would tell doctor, we want you to make sure that those people become healthy, and a lot of things would change. We want people.
Well, I don't know if they want them to be sick, Stanley. I think that what they do is they take advantage of them being sick to ease their symptoms per se, and not necessarily treat the cause. That's why, and that's the industry per se, not necessarily the personal doctor. And that's where I think we go too far.
But when the personal doctor doesn't know,
thousands of dollars.
My medication for MS is $6,000 a month.
Some of these medicines
that's
are
crazy.
Thousands, and that's just crazy. But, you know, these pharmaceutical companies, to take a drug to market takes about 5 years to get it through the FDA and so forth. And so they spend, you know, almost $1 billion to bring a drug to market. So, you know, they're going to try to get their return on their investment.
Right.
They're going to try to get a return on their investment. But then you got the insurance companies that are fighting that don't want to pay for them. Patients are in the middle. So it's, you know, it's rough. These are there new cancer agents. You were talking about the new MS agents.
Yes.
There are all these new anti-clotting agents, you know, Xarelto and all these drugs that you see advertised. Not to mention these new, what I call MA monoclonal antibody drugs, like the Humira and all these drugs that Phil Mickelson and all these other people are coming. They are so expensive. They work, but they're extremely expensive.
Let me ask you this, and I got to get a break.
Yeah, something's wrong with cheaper than legal drugs. Something's wrong.
What'd you say, Eric?
Something's wrong with illegal drugs that are cheaper than legal drugs.
He said it's bad when illegal drugs are cheaper than regular drugs. You got a point there. Hold on, 440. My question is, you know, I know the rules changed a couple years back with pharmacies and doctors.
Right.
And so now instead of marketing to the doctors, why are they marketing to me? We don't know the difference between, you know, Cialis and Humira.
But, you know, in addition to my MD degree, I have an MBA. So when you study marketing.
Okay.
You know, that's they can figure out what you like, what pictures you like. When they put these advertisings on television, there's subliminal messages that
Absolutely.
Are targeted to you that you may not even be aware of, which is why you go in the grocery store and you pick out Tide versus Fab. Or
that's
you,
correct.
I don't know if they use Fab anymore, but Tide versus something else, or whether you pick out this shampoo from that shampoo. They study. So now they've gone from doctors to lay people, but they have, I'm sure, all these very bright marketing MBAs from Harvard that can tell them how to market to people to get a message across.
They get the message across, but the question is, as with marketing, you're marketing something that we don't know anything about. To who?
Sorry, I'm not sure what.
What'd you say, Jeff?
Sorry about that. That was my bad.
I mean, I'm just saying we don't know. And so instead of marketing to doctors as they once did with the pharmaceutical reps and talk to them about what it does and how to get it to their patients, they come and market it to me.
Right. Well, they stopped doing it because there were some bad apples in the barrel.
But there was not that many bad apples for them to market it to us, and we have no clue. What, and they give us all these side effects that sometimes we don't need to know about.
Absolutely.
If you're not going to read it for yourself.
I'm the same way, right.
You don't need to know.
30 minutes of side effects on television.
You don't need to know that what the side effects are because in your mind, some side effects can show up.
Well, psychologically, you can psychosomatically bring yourself to a crazy point.
That's right.
Absolutely. And we wonder why kids are shooting each other in Santa Barbara. your mic is on.
Yeah, I have a question for the doctor, and that is, why do you lie when you say when you're ready to hurt us? You go, this might be a slight pinch, or there'd be a slight tug, or it might be a burning sensation, and then you hurt the hell out of us. You know, as soon as they say that, I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to be bad. I can tell this is going to be bad.
But I don't know. I guess
every
it's just
one of you lie
that
like
say.
That.
Right.
You know, they tell you to say that, don't they?
Is this a myth?
No, no, they don't. But I guess it's just something that we learn. I mean, we've learned from giving certain, doing certain things to patients and so forth, that they are going to have it is going to hurt. But if you say this is going to hurt like heck,
you're onto something here, because I had a spinal tap.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it's going to be a slight little pinch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That wasn't a pinch.
Right.
That was not, I mean, that was mean.
Right.
And if they come,
did they get it the first stick?
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no, they didn't.
When I went and got my,
that's why.
Yeah. When I went and got my flu shot. And she said, I'm going to stick you on three. And she went one, and then she stuck me. It was like, okay.
Oh. Well, you know what? That was clever.
Yeah.
Because it took you by surprise. I'd almost rather for them to do that, because I don't like needles either. And then it was over, right?
Yeah.
And then it was
over.
Well,
you know what they
it was
did?
Over.
You know what they did to me? I went in for a heart cath. Then they stick the shunt in my groin, or right next to my groin. And I jumped, and he says, if you jump, I'm going to hurt you. And I said, well, if you hurt me, I'm going to jump. What
right.
the heck? What, are you out of your mind?
Right. Right.
All the nurses were laughing, but he was kind of bad.
It's true.
I mean, we
it's
all had experience.
We've all myself included. Right.
But when I went, but they do have a point there, because it's like they do tell
that's
a story.
True.
Y'all don't learn that medical.
No, we don't.
Huh?
We just, I don't know.
Y'all just, and be like,
we just
this is just going to.
Right.
Let me ask
okay,
you this.
Okay, I've entertained you enough.
You know what's your special? Because I'm going to leave you with Jeff if you want to stay, because I've got to go to Rotary.
I've got to go to work.
You got
to
do what?
Work.
Work is overrated. The dogs. I got to ask
yes.
about the dogs. The dogs
Our
got
dogs.
A new disease, and it's called.
Well, it's not new. You mean parvovirus?
Yeah, they want us to go take a.
Right. It's not new. I mean, this is.
Parvo is in par.
Parvo.
They got a new disease.
Not new. I mean, unless there's a new strain of it, and I haven't.
They want us to take all of our
right.
dogs to the
parvo
and get
parvo
the virus.
Is not new. It's traditionally a dog virus. Now there is a parvo that's in humans, but not the same. But there is a parvo that's in that's a dog. But it, you know, it comes and goes. So yeah, it's out there.
So
and it kills dogs. That's
and it kills dogs.
Thing.
It
yeah.
kills your
it
dogs.
Does kill
so
dogs.
Yeah. It's they want to take all your dogs.
Yeah,
they
it
want
kills
to,
dogs.
It was on the news here that they want all of us to take all of our dogs.
But, you know, I'm not a veterinarian, but I thought there was a vaccine.
There is, but you
got
to take your dog
oh,
to the vet.
Okay.
And
all
if
right.
you've already got your shots already.
Oh.
What about diabetes?
Now you want,
I mean,
what about diabetes?
The cat and dogs are catching diabetes. I saw something on the
yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
How
you know what?
That
you know what? Amenti, I'm going to get a vet on here to have that conversation, too. Because they are catching a whole lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious about
that. The way that they're eating, too.
Because yeah, we're feeding them people food instead of dog food, and so they're dying right with us. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here at WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-529. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-
Did you say me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Stanley took that conversation like to left field about the Elliot Boyd. I thought that was funny.
Oh.
I was laughing. I was laughing so hard. couldn't
that boy was just, anything. That dude was just flat out crazy. You can't fix crazy.
You do not need to call mental illness people or people suffer from mental illness.
No, he was like, yeah, men are rejected and women play games. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait.
What am I saying that's not true? What am I saying that's not true?
Conversation
men and women. I didn't say just women. I say both gender are playing games.
I mean, I'm just looking at it in context. I mean, when you listen to that video, that YouTube video he put out, for somebody that frustrated, he was way too calm. And I can understand why girls would be creeped out by him.
But see, that's
I'm
the
sorry.
Thing with mental illness. Psychosis and paranoia manifest differently in different people. So what you see on TV and the movies like Sybil and all those shows and stuff, mental illness does not happen like that for everybody.
Yeah, but let me say something, Diva. I hear that. But this is something I see. This still comes with responsibility, and it's about the individual. I don't care how much mental illness that you have. There's people that are disabled out here, but they're nice people. You understand what I'm saying? There's people who have mental illness, but they're nice people. Okay, unfortunately. You understand? So it's about him. He
but
had
no
flag. He had no confidence.
Mentee, it's about which stage of mental illness and what type of mental illness you are suffering from.
I know.
Because when you are going through a full-blown psychosis, nobody's going to be nice. It's very difficult, very, very difficult to understand.
I understand very well.
That's what he was going to. And what I'm saying about psychosis is, psychosis is not necessarily manifest where a person is screaming and yelling and hollering and kicking how you would see on TV. A person going through psychosis can also be very, very calm, in calculating. However, irrationalizing their thoughts is not normal. It's not the same as you and I. Their rationale is completely, basically lacking. They think they're being rational and logical, but they're not because their brain is not functioning properly in that moment.
Well, it's all about
the right treatment. Because I know a guy that I've known for 30 years. He's a paranoid schizophrenic, and I trust the guy in my life, to be honest with you. He takes his medication. You know, he goes to therapist, and he's fine.
Yeah, but he shot people. He killed women, all because he had money, and he thought women were supposed to fall at his lap. He didn't understand. He didn't have game. Nobody taught him how to get women.
It's not just that nobody taught him how to get women. It's something about because women are drawn to money regardless.
I would disagree. I know some women who are drawn to money, but that doesn't mean that they're going to sleep with the guy. I know a lot of women who are drawn to money and they say,
it might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space.
And we're back here. We're going to let you have a little freestyle. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Anyway, the host of the show is out of control, y'all. If I was Jim Trafficking, you're out of control, Tracy. You're out of control. Anyway, we are back here on WSON 600 AM on your radio dial here on Mornings with Tracy and Friends. We're going to have a freestyle for the next 20 minutes or so till we end the show out. So I'm going to turn the pots up, and I'm going to say callers online. We have Stanley, Diva, Eric, and who's 330831?
Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie, okay. And so whatever you guys want to start talking about, the good doctor is gone, and so is Tracy, so we have to, Just keep going with whatever you want to talk about, though. So just somebody start it off, whatever you want to talk about. Go.
I mean, I know that the situation with this Elliot guy is like a serious situation. My condolences to the family. But it makes me laugh. If I sound cold, but to me it just makes me laugh. The whole thing is just like, that's all it makes me say. I don't really have nothing political or really much to say. I know we was just having a discussion before, but my condolences is to the victim, to this situation, you know? But I don't have nothing to say. It's just ridiculous. That's all I have to say about it. It's ridiculous.
And that's about them.
Now, I'm not an expert, but I think that this guy had some issues with his own sexual identity. It wasn't so much women to me.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. It was nothing much deeper going on besides women.
Well, I think he, like Diva said, he thought that just because he had the money that he could get any woman and everything. When he got to the point of getting the money and women were not reacting, basically taking his money, that's where he got mad. And I think a lot of guys feel like that. A lot of guys, I meet at clubs, at bars, spend $200, $300, $400, spend the whole night paying the drink to all the women, and then they're surprised at the end of the night, I spend $500, and I got nothing for it. And a lot
that's
of guys.
What
I mean,
whose fault is that? You're trying to buy
something. I
didn't
say it's whose fault is that. I'm just telling you how it is. Whose fault is
that?
Yeah,
but here, Stanley, that's mental illness right there, okay? That's mental illness because
what's mental illness?
Yeah, that is. I mean, to think that you're buying something unless you are buying a prostitute or a call girl, because
that's being egotistical. That's your ego.
No, egotistical. No, egotistical is saying I can get whatever I want.
That's the first thing I said. Well, if this is all about sex, why didn't this guy just go out and hire an escort? You know.
Right. Right. This wasn't about sex. This is about he was weird and he was getting rejected because
he was weird. For somebody to go out and go do what he did, and I don't think it was just weird. Well, he may have been. Well, people who don't understand mental illness, psychosis, paranoia. Yeah, you'll label somebody weird, and that's what threw people off, especially females. Heck, I don't even think a prostitute probably have anything to do with him unless she's desperate because he just comes off.
Oh, no. She'll take that money. I mean, especially as much money as he was rolling with.
Not if she feels her life can be in danger.
Well, that may be too, you know, but prostitutes and call girls, they have systems of protection. Hey, Stan. See, I got to hang him up because, you know, he's calling for you, Diva. So you know that's all he's calling for.
Why'd
but
you hang
anyway,
because
he was
mean.
All that noise. Did you hear all that noise? No, he can call back. I'll let him in once he gets out all the noise. But he's up there having a conversation in the background, telling somebody, "I'll see you later."
This is the biggest problem I see is that people don't understand mental illness. They don't understand psychosis. They don't understand paranoia. I don't care how much money you have, looks, whatever, prestige, background, whatever. Mental illness manifests in all walks of life, racial boundaries, economic boundaries. It doesn't matter. And when people don't understand it, people don't get the help that they need.
Yeah, hold on, Diva. You hear that?
Yeah, this is Steve.
Okay, Steve, you got all that noise going in the background. You can't do that when you call in, okay?
I'm trying to.
It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. Go ahead, talk.
Yeah. I'll say hi, Diva. What I have to say, Jeff. You're making up excuses for this young guy because.
No, I'm not.
Well, myself, I have problems, and I've had them all my life. When I was young myself, and I didn't have a girlfriend, and that thought never came to my head because some young lady wasn't interested in me to go out and get a gun.
And you're not crazy, Steve. He was
and,
crazy.
And you don't put your focus your whole life
crazy.
On women.
People do
call exactly. That's two things.
Call me
you
that
don't do,
here
Steve.
In Youngstown. I mean,
no, Steve. I don't call you crazy. And
maybe you don't.
No, and
other
and,
people have. I mean,
well, they don't understand.
Might.
They don't understand.
Well, people might think it too, but that's here
and there. I mean, when you're young,
Steve, I would
that's,
think I'm
that's,
weird.
Okay, Steve, hold on. Now let somebody else talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Diva.
That was a Minty.
No, I was just
saying
that when you're young, you know, and I've experienced this myself, you know, you're the nerd or you're different from everyone else. You go through that when you're young. But when you get mature, when you get into your 20s, when you start, you know, getting out there, you eventually start finding yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you eventually come out of your shell by choice. It's all mental. It's all in your head. You know what you choose to do with it.
But you're right. Mental illness is all in your head. It's dealing with your brain. That's what people fail to realize. It's a chemical imbalance in the brain. So when somebody is depressed, it's not as simple as saying, oh, just snap out of it. Oh, you're going to get better or life will get better. Or, you know, it takes more than just that. Your brain is actually not functioning properly. And that's what people need to start realizing is that person's brain is not functioning. I'm not making excuses for someone who has mental illness and did something bad, but you cannot think of them in the same context as a normal person.
But Diva, wait a minute. Diva, there's many people we said that they were having mental illness or depression and things like that, but when they went to a psychologist or somebody that was very good with them, they didn't need the pill. They just needed to fix something that was basically troubling them, and they needed to find a solution. We don't believe in going to a psychologist.
Don't.
We don't believe going to a psychologist. We don't believe going this. We always believe, I can fix it on my own. No, you can't. Sometimes you have a problem that you really need to go get a specialist that will listen to you and find a solution for your problem.
That's a little bit true. That's a little bit true, Stanley.
But that's a lot of truth in the African-American community.
Yeah, but push comes to shove. You have a whole lot of people that are getting psychological help that you don't know is getting it.
Well, Jeff, can I say something?
Quickly, go ahead, sir.
Well, most mental illness is come on because bad things might have happened to that person, too. Like with women, so to speak, if a young woman grow up and have some type of mental illness, it's traced back to was she abused by a family member or something like that.
You can't say most. You can say a lot, but you can't say most because I just watched a documentary yesterday of people that were born with schizophrenia. Go ahead.
And I was going to say that mental illness is also generational because you can have someone who gets raped, doesn't suffer from the setbacks as someone else. And if you look throughout their history, their generational history, there's no mental illness directly linked to them. So they might be able to cope with such a tragic occurrence. Whereas someone who maybe their mother, a girl whose mother suffered from depression or suffered from some type of mental illness, her grandmother, that's directly linked. She may, and then something tragic happens to her, more than 9 times out of 10, she's going to develop mental illness out of that tragic situation. And then you have some people who are born with certain illnesses such as schizophrenia.
Yeah, and so the bottom line is this particular guy had some, you know, very bad issues that he had been under counseling for. And the counselors the counselors told him, hey, this guy is dangerous. You better do something to him, stop him, because he's at a crucial boil-over point. And they didn't do anything about it, probably because his father and he had money. And because they had the money, they didn't want to jeopardize losing that, you know, counseling fee, et cetera, or jeopardizing losing getting that pressure from this guy to have a couple dollars in his pocket. And see, that's the terrible thing.
I can also say working with people who suffer from mental illness, especially when it's very, very hard, very, very difficult. They think nothing's wrong with them. They're very combative when it comes to treatment, especially when in the state that he's in. He's an adult. No one can force him into a mental institution unless he directly says that he is planning to kill somebody in a counseling session or he's going to kill
somebody. He did. That's the whole point I'm making.
It's one thing to say, yeah, I feel like I might want to hurt some people, or to say, yeah, I'm going to kill this chick.
That's not what the counselor said. But
was he talking
go ahead,
like
Steve.
How he talked in a video to the counselor?
Hold on, Menti. Hold it, Steve. Go ahead, and then a Menti.
Back in my, when I was young coming up, they used to put people away who had mental illness and mentally retarded, because when I was a youth coming up, I lived in an institution for the mentally retarded. Now, I was put there because I had behavior problems as well as learning disabilities. And I stayed there for 6 years. Now, I knew people that stayed in those facilities for most of their lives because their families just put them away in those facilities.
Okay.
Although when I was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, they told me that institution is still open up. But they have severely retarded people because I lived with children when I was staying in some foster home. I lived with children that was mildly retarded, so to speak, who was mentally retarded.
But, Steve, in your case, somebody totally misdiagnosed you.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. I can tell by your intellect, Steve, that how you can speak on a subject and how you can bring out and give your view. You may have a learning disability, and you may even process a certain way, but your intellect is not one of somebody that is severely retarded. You're not exhibiting that. So,
well, the thing about it, I didn't belong in that place, and there were other children or boys my age that were there too who were juvenile delinquents.
Mm-hmm.
I was a juvenile delinquent. That's pretty much because I did get into trouble.
You got into trouble. That's why you were there, because they didn't know what else to do with you. But it wasn't because of that. And many African-American kids at that time suffered that same type of thing. They were institutionalized one way or another so that they would just get put out of people's hair. It wasn't because they actually had a problem. That's why you have all these ADHDs and things like that in inner-city schools and these kids on this medication, Adderall and all those things right now, because they don't know what to do with the aggressiveness of the black community. And so they put it in prison, they give it drugs to calm it back, and they do whatever they can to keep you from, causing a problem, per se, because they don't know what to do with you. And they're afraid of you, actually, so we'll leave that alone. But you're not mental health. Amenti, go ahead.
Well, I just had a question. I was curious. I haven't got a chance to get to the whole story, but I'm curious. Was he talking to the counselor the way he talked on the video?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people said the video is so disturbing, they can't even watch the whole thing. They just turn it off. So I wanted
to. Did you see that, Diva?
I didn't watch the video yet. I'm going to watch it as soon as we get off. But I can say that sometimes mentally ill people know how to mask when it comes to therapists. They're not stupid. They know how to, especially if his daddy was forcing him to go through therapy and treatment, or he was going to get cut off, he know how to say the right things and give the therapist what is needed just so that he can continue to go out and go on about his way and please his daddy in a way. And that's very dangerous, too. That's why mental illness is so hard to treat, because you can't really get inside the mind of a person. You can only go off of what they're telling and what they're exhibiting. And the only time you can really take action is during full-blown psychosis or paranoia.
Diva, I have an aunt. I think I spoke about this before. She gets almost $800 a month. And she doesn't go to no facility. They tried to put her in something. The only time she gets some type of help is when she gets locked up. And she has four children. My mother has the last one. My grandmother keeps the first three. Actually, her oldest child is doing time in juvenile for like 3 years. And this aunt roams the streets and does all this type of stuff, and I understand she's probably mentally ill. She used to be a prostitute, and she did time in prison herself. But I kind of question, because what else is going on? Because when one time she jumped on my and they went to arrest her, I don't know what she said, but the cop was crying and was like, oh, this woman has been through so much. And they didn't arrest my grandfather, but they arrested my cousin, who had to fight her off of my grandfather.
Got you. You know, unfortunately, you have mentally ill people on police forces as well that don't know how to handle situations. And that's honest. That's just being honest. You have people that'll like say he was involved in a shooting, might have wounded or killed somebody, and then they start losing their balance a lot of times, and that's why they have to go through a lot of psychological counseling before they can go back to work. We're probably going to get interrupted here. Yeah, we're probably going to get interrupted here pretty soon. So we're going to try to keep it going as long as possible. Go ahead, Eric.
Are you going to leave the chat room up?
Yeah, we're going to leave it up for a while for you.
Yeah, you go back to Hurricane Katrina. It was cops down in New Orleans killing themselves left and right.
Well, you know what? In New Orleans, don't forget that they were so corrupt that you had 80 policemen go to jail. Okay, in New Orleans.
Don't think just because someone commits suicide they were suffering from mental illness. Some people do it to get out of trouble. They feel that's the easiest way out, and that's the quickest way. Because you have the case of those cops. I mean, some of them might have been suffering, but you have to look at the history.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot for a person to actually get to that point. Someone who's truly mentally ill. I wouldn't say it must take a lot, but what you were speaking on the mentee is, I'm trying to understand what you say by it must have been something else going on. That clearly sounds like your aunt is suffering from some type of mental illness. There are different forms of mental illness, and they manifest differently in different people. So, like, if you watch the movie Sybil and how that character operated with her multiple personality disorder, or you watch other shows where people are mentally ill and they just start, that's not always the case. Not everybody is being dragged into hospitals screaming and kicking. Not everybody's going around killing people. I know with bipolar disorders, they're very, very difficult to recognize. You would think that, and then they're overdiagnosed too.
We gotta go, but we're gonna continue this in the chat room. Very good comments from everybody, and we appreciate you being here today and listening to us at Tracy and Friends, and we'll be back here tomorrow, the same time, the same bat station, and everybody that wants to hold on and talk, you are open in the chat room.
Hello?
We're still here.
Oh, I thought we had to go.
At least some of us are.
Yeah, BTR knocks you out the room into another show. You just have to click the link before the show goes back out again.
And you can stay in the room?
Yeah, it's just going to take you to another window. You do it while it's like down to crunch time, like countdown time. And what happened is, oh, shit, it's about to bounce me out. Oh, it didn't even work. But sometimes if you do that, you can click it and it'll keep you in the chat room. I just got bounced out. I don't know why BTR is doing that. This thing is crazy. BTR always doing something crazy.
Oh, yeah. It didn't bounce me out. It bounced me out.
This topic is going to get so deep, you know, but it's like, this dude was just, man, this is so unfortunate. I don't even know how many people died, but this is so unfortunate.
Thanks. But if you look at the Sandy Hook shooting, when you look at, this is why I'm an advocate for gun control. Because I know how mental illness work. A person can look calm and rational on the outside, and a storm is brewing on the inside. And their reason and their logic is missing because their brain is misfiring, but they can fill out their application according to what needs to be done so that they can get that gun. Meaning, yes, they will lie, steal, and cheat. And people.
But what does that mean, though? But what does that mean? Does that mean that I can't buy one because of what he might do? I mean,
No. I think that I believe, and this is coming from someone who is an advocate for mental illness, but I believe that once a person enters into the system where they are getting treatment, there should be a national database that their name goes into. If they have been treated for suicidal tendencies, homicidal tendencies, their name goes into a national database. That database links up with these gun owner shops and whatever, and they should not be allowed to purchase a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I agree with you
1,000% on that, that a person should go into a database of crazy folk, and crazy folk should not be allowed
but
to buy a gun.
But say crazy. That's
they,
not.
They are crazy.
That is
not
nice. No, they're not. That is not nice.
What
they calling a gay person
I'm trying to be nice here. I'm trying to give you a functional state. And if you have mental illness, see, today, these idiots are trying to call mental illness things that aren't. It's just like this fool wants, if you disagree with climate change, you should be jailed. Well, they're going to get that accomplished here pretty soon. They're going to get it accomplished. And the reason why is a political reason. So you have to have this database be exactly, this person is irrational, not because he doesn't believe in climate change, but because he thinks that he should harm people.
That person has a tendency to harm themselves or harm others, because a person who has a tendency to harm themselves can unintentionally harm others. You see that in a case where people are trying to use their own vehicles to kill themselves. Well, you drive to a restaurant with a room full of people, guess what? Somebody's going to get hurt. You drive through a train crossing, that train is coming, you park your car there, guess what? Somebody else is going to get hurt. So I think that people like that should be put into a database and should not be allowed to have a weapon.
You know what kind of people that is?
Diva. Yes.
You know what kind of people that is?
What?
Crazy people. Into knowledge, you're in. Alabama, you're in. Amenti, you're in. Eric, you're in. Stanley, you're in. And, of course, Diva, you're in. So that's who's in the chat room now. I might be listening for some time, but you guys go ahead and get down. You guys had great comments today, and appreciate you being part of the show.
No problem.
Where are you going?
I got people to do, places to see, and I forgot the third one. Something I can't remember. What can I say? Busy. I am busy. I got to make money.
Okay.
I can't sit around. I got to make some money. So that's where I'm going.
So I'm going to look at this YouTube video. When he made this YouTube video, because I'm looking at his picture, I'm like, he doesn't seem like he's a bad guy, bad-looking guy.
He looks crazy.
I mean, but he doesn't, he does not look, I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying, unattractive. And he's driving around in a BMW. So that just lets me know.
Wait a minute. Not just a BMW. A 5 Series BMW.
Okay. That's just like, he gets to talking to a female, and if you turn it, you can even turn off a gold digger, then you know there's something not wrapped too tight in his brain.
He's crazy. Like I told you, he doesn't have control.
I don't like that word.
His parents.
Yeah, I hear you.
He didn't seem to me like he doesn't really like women anyway.
That's Alabama. I think that he has sexuality issues, and then women don't want him. It just even made it deeper, because he's
probably so.
Yeah, I think so too. That's the same thing. The same thing Alabama saying. I felt the same thing. Like, nah, this guy got so, because I could play the video now if you like the video. He was saying that women are going to pay and all kind of stuff. Like, that's crazy.
It seemed like it does. It goes deeper than just him not being able to pick up girls, but that all wraps into mental illness. His reasoning and he is just thinking illogically. Normal people who get rejected don't operate like him. Don't operate like that. You get rejected, okay, you feel a certain way, you move on.
I'll give you a scenario. He wanted a certain type of girl, and those certain type of girls couldn't get to him and rejected him. And guarantee you, he's used to getting his way because his father probably gave him everything in the world that he wanted. And now he can't get this, he don't trip. That's what happens when you don't, and see, you can be crazy in my family, but your behind is going to know because when you act up and you're going to try to force your way in to get something, your behind is going to get whipped.
Yes, there are some people who suffer from mental illness who know right from wrong.
Unless you're
full-blown psychosis and paranoia, then you don't. But just suffering from just a manic phase, basic depression, you still know right from wrong.
I agree.
And he was not taught coping skills. More likely wasn't taught coping skills. He was given everything. Everything was handed to him on a silver platter. And dealing with, I guarantee you he had trouble with authority throughout his childhood. This is not just coming on. He had issues throughout his childhood. That's why he was probably babied so much.
I agree, and that's why he was so seething with anger, too.
Yeah.
How dare you reject me, is what he said with this shooting.
I think something has to be done with mental illness. I just, as rich as his parents are, and they were trying to get him the help he needed, where was the ball dropped? He should have been
a long time ago. People, I hate to say it. When you come from an undisciplined mindset, the parents don't know how to parent. That's why you had the Dr. Spock generation of all these elitists that would not spank their kids, and now they've made laws to say don't spank your children.
Mm-hmm.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their children were raised by nannies. They didn't even really raise their kids.
Exactly.
Precisely again. But you know what? Usually the nanny would put some discipline in your butt. Because they're not usually very, very well off to where they don't realize that your behind needs spanking.
Okay, so I'm reading the CNN report. He said, all those beautiful girls I've desired so much in my life but can never have because they despise and loathe me, I will destroy. So it's
right.
Something about him that turns women off.
He's crazy. He wasn't normal. He couldn't talk about normal things.
Then he said, for most of his early childhood, Roger was a happy boy, but he said his first major traumatic event came when he learned at 7 that his parents were divorcing. He described his parents' divorce as a devastating, life-changing event. Okay,
Whoops, there
bitterness, it is. Bitterness after puberty. From his unfulfilled desires for women. I don't get that. Why didn't you buy yourself a prostitute?
Well, because,
call a girl, something.
Well, I could have told him how to help herself.
Yeah. I don't understand why the therapist didn't tell him, look, you got beautiful. They got beautiful call girls out there. You live in L.A.
Yeah, Dad. You bought him a BMW. Why don't you have an escort sitting in the passenger seat to go with it?
hey, check this out. I would have told him how to help himself. All he had to do was go to the was go learn how to play an instrument and get on the stage. All his troubles would be over.
Ever. His BMW was enough. But
BMW doesn't necessarily say it. But you get up on that stage with some talent, because I'm going to tell you, I had no girlfriends, really, except for heavyset girls used to like me, and I didn't want heavyset girls, and I didn't notice I didn't call her fat. But anyway, that's who used to like me. And so when I was grade school, but when I got in junior high school and playing an instrument and I got on the stage with a band, oh, everybody was talking and, man, I went crazy. I took full advantage of the situation.
Mincy, are you still there?
But another thing I wanted to say is this. You know, he describes himself in the video as being an alpha male. I'm like, no, you're not, dude.
He's not.
No, he wasn't alpha male at all.
Roger was 11. A friend he met through a chat room sent him photos of beautiful naked girls, and he was shocked beyond. He said, when I looked at the pictures, I was shocked beyond words. I had never seen what beautiful girls look like naked, and the sight filled me with strong and overwhelming emotions. I was traumatized. My childhood was fading away. Okay. I don't know what 11-year-old who is normal would get traumatized by seeing a naked girl.
That's a traumatizing thing.
How is that a 11-year-old boy getting traumatized by seeing a naked girl on a picture of a naked girl?
Yes. If you don't know nothing about it.
How is that traumatized? Okay.
You misunderstand. People have images of what they think things are.
Okay.
And when they find out what the truth is, it blows their mind.
Well, I'm just thinking back to the boy that I grew up with. And
again, if that traumatized him, that goes back to his sexual identity.
Yes, and that's what I'm getting at, Eric. That's what I'm getting at. There is something that he really, really took it to great lengths to where he felt like seeing that damaged him.
That was gross. Seeing a naked woman is gross, but yet you're mad because you can't get women? I don't understand how that works.
He was traumatized. He said the sight was shocking, traumatizing, and arousing. All these feelings mixed together took a great toll on me. I walked
home
and by myself for a bit. I felt guilty about what I saw to talk to my parents about it. Not getting any sex is what will shape the very foundation of my miserable youth. So he was 11 years old, getting aroused, and he couldn't get no other 11-year-old girls to put out. And
which,
so he became traumatic at that
which
moment.
Which shows you one thing. His parents didn't know a damn thing about him because they should have told him, well, you're not supposed to live, you're not supposed to do this now. You're supposed to blah, 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 or whatever, give you some kind of guideline, but see, no guideline.
He didn't even want to talk to his parents about it, but you would think that they would have talked to him at some point about sex.
Yeah, I mean, his dad is consumed in that left-wing, far-left Hollywood world. You think they would be more open to that and explain that to him,
He would have thought.
So Roger said he endured a spate of bullying in the 8th and 9th grades, causing him to be more shy and timid than I ever was in my life. I felt very small, weak, and above all, worthless. I cried by myself at school every day. He said one of the worst days came in the 9th grade when a classmate was bragging about having sex with his girlfriend. I finally told him I didn't believe him, so he placed a voice recording of what sounded like him and his girlfriend having sex. I could hear a girl saying his name over and over again while she panted frantically. He grinned at me smugly. I felt so inferior to him, and I hated him. Well, it seemed like he just had emotional issues as a kid. He didn't know how to handle them. And they got bigger as he became an adult. But, yeah, I'm along with Minty. This seems like something dealing with his sexuality more so than him getting rejected by women.
Well, nah, I think it's the combination of the both, Diva. It's just the combination of not having somebody tell him like everybody's telling you, if a man doesn't know how to get a woman and doesn't get teach that, or if a father doesn't tell them the truth, a lot of men are going to be traumatized with that.
I'm going to tell you right now, it does not take a lot to get a woman. It does not. You have to know what to go after. You cannot go after something that's out of your league.
Wait. There's nothing out of your league.
I mean,
what the hell stupidity is that out of your league?
This dude was a very effeminate, girly man type of dude.
He seemed like he came off very weak.
What is the thing of out of your league, Diva? There's nothing out of your league.
Yeah,
that doesn't
is.
Exist
yes,
out of your league
there
thing.
There are some women who just will not date you.
Yes,
yeah,
I agree
reason,
with
you,
you but
are
what's
attracted
the out
to them,
of your league?
You will try to talk to them, and you get mad because they reject you.
Yeah.
I don't get mad. I mean, why get mad because a female don't want to be bothered with you because you don't have what they are interested in?
Because that's, a lot of men want to have, they think that they want to have that pretty woman or whatever, and they can't have that, and they
exactly,
want to get that.
Exactly, out of your league.
No, she's not out of your league. That's
not yeah,
you
she's out of your, if you're not
she
attracted
doesn't
to
like you,
her,
she
if she doesn't deem
you
attracted
you,
to be on her
to
level,
take your ball
and she's
and go get
slow,
the kind of woman like
you,
that. That has nothing to do with out of your league. No
Haley,
woman is out of your league. No,
if she deems herself a 10 and you coming at her and you're a 6 and she looks at you and you're a 6.
So what? Wait. It doesn't mean because you're a 10. Wait. Let's get it straight, Diva. It doesn't mean because you're a 10. Figuratively, that means you're 10 in personality, you're 10 in
that's
everything.
That's not what I'm saying, Haley.
You can be
that's
a 10
in
beauty
saying.
And be
that's
a 0 in personality.
I don't care. She can have the ugliest, bitchiest personality
exactly.
ever.
So,
does it
so
matter?
Don't think that just because you're a 10,
she thinks
that's,
she's a 10
that's the thing that
and
you
you're
don't
looking
get
like
women.
Six,
that's the thing that you
her.
Don't get women. That is not out of your league. That does not
okay,
exist,
Stanley.
That does not exist.
Okay.
Stanley, I think you have the problem with this at times because this, you're saying stuff that she did not even say.
Exactly.
No, she said he needed to know how to go out of your league. And I'm,
exactly.
What are you talking about out of his league?
Okay, this is what's out of your league. You can't intellectually deal with it, obviously. And so my point is this. I understand what she just said. Just 'cause, and it's not necessarily about how a person looks. Because I see some scuzzy, good-looking girls. So, I mean, if they're scuzzy, they're scuzzy. But the thing is that there are some things that people can't handle. They can't handle certain people's intellect. You can't handle their beauty at times. You can't handle their position. So there are some people that are out of your league. And he was trying to get with girls that were not his intellectual equals, and they weren't looking at him as being a nice looking guy. Sorry. And that's the bottom line.
I agree with you, Jeff, but that doesn't mean that same man that does that. What are you going to tell that guy to go get something that he doesn't want? You should never settle for what he wants. If he wants to get those kind of girls, then you should tell him, okay, you can't get
then
that
you
kind
should
of
learn
girl.
How you should learn how either you make yourself come up to that level or you learn how to handle it.
What come up to that level? What level
he needs
talking
to learn
about?
How to talk to girls. He needs to learn how to talk to girls that he is interested in. If you are interested in someone who is intellectual, who likes politics, who likes having meaningful discussions, you need to learn how to have a meaningful discussion. You need to engage and get yourself involved in these type of topics. If you have nothing to talk about, she's not going to be interested. So you either learn how to do rejection or you learn how to come up to her level.
Yeah. I agree with you with Diva, but when the role is reversed, when we ask you women to do the same thing, you can't even do it. So how do you expect a man?
What are you talking about?
Well, okay, Diva, who approached who? Who approached who more? Is it men who are approaching women or women who are approaching men, Diva? Come on.
He had a specific
type of
woman.
Men are supposed to approach females.
Look,
you're supposed to be the chaser. You're the alpha male. You're supposed to be the one doing the chasing. It's to me, females are the ones who are doing all this to look good in y'all eyes, to get a man to attract a man to them. We want to attract the man that we want to attract. We not just. It's not just because you a man and you think you a good guy that I'm obligated to talk to you.
No, you're not. But
you're
not obligated to talk to them. I agree with you, Diva. But you're not obligated. I see some women when a guy approach them, they fucking act like they're bitch in front of the guy instead of being very polite to the girl.
I'm having a drink with my girls. I don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry approaching me.
What's your point of not just being? What's your point, Diva? Just not being polite to that guy and saying, "Look, I'm not interested," and that's it. What do you have to come with an attitude and act like you're all this and that, and then get the guy?
Because women, all women, give a signal to when they want to be
No, there's no signal.
Yes.
There's no signal. Trust me, there's no signal.
I've
heard
many
women. There's no signal. Please, women, please. There's no signal.
There's
no signal.
There's a signal that a woman will give to let you know that she is
okay.
A person.
There's no signal,
okay.
Diva. You know how many women I heard said personally, I'm never going to sleep with this guy, never going to do something with this guy, and 2 days, 3 days later, they did something with the guy. And I even came to those girls saying, I thought you were never going
to
do something
with
this
signal?
Guy. Oh, I wasn't interested. Now suddenly I am. Please, there's no signal. You don't come
with
any signal, women.
What does that have to do with the signal? Versus when a guy first sees a female, especially in a place.
A guy approaches a female, he finds her. Okay, a guy sees a female that he finds attractive and approaching her in a polite way, you should be polite to him and say if you're not interested. You don't come with an attitude. You don't come bitchy.
Uh-oh.
That's being socialized also. And women, you don't know that part.
Whatever, Stanley, I'm a female.
Well, you know, you just said it. You said, I'm with my girl and everything, and they're coming, and Doug and Danny is coming to...
Stanley, calm down. Let me school you on females, okay? When a female is out and about, and she's out with her girls, or she might be on the prowl looking for a certain type of guy, all she is focused on, that particular guy. She don't want no regular Joe Schmo coming up to her starting conversation.
I'm asking you the
Stanley,
question,
listen.
Eva.
I'm going to tell you how a female will let you know she's interested in you. When your eyes connect, she holds you, she holds the weight, she holds
please,
your
Diva,
gaze.
Oh, please,
for her.
Diva,
listen,
that is not true.
Hold your gaze.
Diva, Diva, that's not true.
She turns
that is
away.
Not true.
She looks again.
That
she
is
smiles.
Not true. Trust
that
me,
you know
as a man, I'm telling
culture.
You it's not
you
true.
Not
you have
woman
not
who
dated women.
Like
I have dated women. It is not true. It is not true. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think it's true, but it's not true. Trust me.
Oh, just because you dated women. What,
no,
what
I dated women that I looked them in their eyes and it didn't work out. I've dated women that I didn't look at in their eyes and everything, and it did work out. So
oh, my
God,
Stanley, you're not getting it. I said in that first moment when you're about
no,
to approach
the
female,
first
I ain't
moment,
talking
I'm
about.
Confirming what you're saying, no, Diva. It did not work
so
out.
So you mean
I'm
to tell me she looked at you, she smiled.
No, I came to her very, very in the back and everything, and she was, some girls were interested, some girls were not. Some girls became interested over time. That depends
hey,
on everything.
To me.
But I'm
no,
not
no,
going to stop my life
when you're in,
and say,
so when
oh,
you're
let
in
me look
club,
at the girl.
When you're in the bar or whatever, she looks at you, she turns away, she looks again, she smiles. You walk up to her, she's trying to say, get the F away from me, or give you a bad, give you and be mean to you?
Yeah, some women do.
She smiled at you. You walked
some
over.
Some women
and she
do, Diva. Some women. I'm telling you, as a man, some women do. Some women will act
why,
that way
why,
in front of different. Some women will act a different way when they're the friends, and some women will act differently when they're alone.
Stanley,
some women will come
gonna,
with their friend and act totally
like
bitches, when, but when they're alone, they're too late.
You're not going to meet your soulmate in a bar. I mean, the chances of that are highly unlikely. So that's. I don't understand that part.
I'm not talking about bar. You could go to any social activity. You could be, if you, I'm not talking necessarily bar, any social activity. I'm saying that if a man approach a woman, I think a woman should be polite enough to say, I'm not interested, not have an attitude, and not be mad about it because men are approaching women. Because Diva kept on saying it's our duty to approach you, but it's your duty to be a woman also.
Whoa, can you hear me?
Yeah, Jeff, we can hear you.
Okay, listen. That woman does not owe that man to be nice. That's not,
exactly.
That's not on her. She don't have to be nice to him. Screw you. You ain't nobody.
So we're going to go there, Jeff.
Me,
so the woman that have no, cannot
so
be polite
Jeff,
and everything.
So,
you're telling me, Jeff, that basically when a man approach a woman, the woman has the right to act a fool and act any way she wants?
Yes.
Okay, so if I'm going to go to your logic, that means a man has the way to act any way he wants with a woman. That means if he's like slapping her, beating her, and doing whatever he wants, he can do
it.
Or calling her a bitch, or calling her name, like you're saying, he has the right to do it.
That's the thing is, you got to learn to deal with rejection.
No. I'm asking Jeff. I'm asking Jeff. So are you telling me, Jeff, that a man has the right to tell a woman whatever he wants and call her all the names in the world?
No, he's not.
No, you're telling me
he
has. Because you just came with your logic and saying she doesn't have to be nice.
Who
you can have it both ways, Jeff. You can have it both ways.
You understand how you have this expectation that a female has?
No, I have the expectation that if I come to you with respect, you come with me with respect. That's what I expect. That's all I expect. If I come with you politely,
where women are treating you like this, Stanley, that's what I don't understand. I don't. I mean, where are you going?
I'm going to the point at which Jeff is saying that. A man approach a woman and say, hey, what's your name and everything, very politely. Some women have an attitude just because you come with that. Okay,
I
you
mean,
could have an attitude.
Just roll their eyes. nice. But again, you have to know that she's approachable. Some men, I've seen it, Stan. I've seen some men approach a female knowing she ain't feeling you. And they want to approach her anyway. So you turn around, get that little look, the little whatever, and she turned back away from him.
Okay, and I agree with you,
Diva. She didn't give you any signals that she was interested. Why would you approach her?
But Diva, I agree with you, but those same women that says, I don't want to know nothing about this guy, 2 days later or 3 days later are sleeping with that guy.
Okay, that's fine. In that moment,
so put yourself as a man. What are we supposed to think? If we approach you, it could be yes or it could be no. But you just said she's rolling her eyes. She's doing
that moment. And then if it becomes a yes later, then you take it. Why are you getting so riled up?
No, Diva, it doesn't make sense. You just said it. You said if you approach a woman and the woman's rolling her eyes, what do you expect? The woman is not interested in
that. She don't want to be part of that moment.
And if your logic is there.
No, she doesn't want to be part of
that
moment, Stanley. That doesn't mean you might not have a shot some other time, but in that moment,
no, you just said the woman's not interested at you. You just said the woman's not interested.
I don't know. I know some guys that, hey, let me buy you a drink. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not feeling, I'm like, okay, yeah, but I'm really not feeling them. I want them to buy me a drink and keep on moving. But
okay, but why are you taking their drink?
Diva,
why are you taking their drink if you're not interested at them?
Because you won't offer it to me. You won't offer it to me. What? You being blatant enough to offer it to me.
Diva, I'm asking you as a woman can't say no.
Are you trying to say that men only offer me a drink because they took from me? Well, that's you being a fool if you think you won't buy somebody like
that. You as a woman, you cannot say no to the guy? If a guy is offering you a drink and everything and you're not interested at him, can you just say no?
A free drink.
Okay.
What?
I'm a married man, but if I see you in a nightclub, and I say, hey, I'd nice to see you, Diva. I'm talking to you on the radio every day. Nice to meet you. Let me buy you a drink. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Hey, yo, this is the thing. Stanley is the guy that I warned my daughter about. And I tell
me too,
her.
Man. Me too.
I tell her, come on, idiot. You want to pull out and drive fast. Okay, I tell her, be careful of these guys that think that because they bought you a drink that you owe them something.
And no, I never say that.
Okay, here's the thing. But they don't owe you to be nice. They don't owe you to be nice.
I find it just stupid that those guys are doing this because 90% of the time the girl's not even interested when you're buying those drinks and everything. Find out the girl likes you for you and find out the girl feels you and then buy her a drink or buy something. But don't buy her a drink, a woman, just because she's a woman. And a lot of women think that.
I make my living in nightclubs and bars, okay? I make a lot of money doing that. Guess what? I buy some people a drink sometimes.
I agree.
Just because I like who they are. And guess what? They ain't expecting nothing from me. And sometimes we become friends behind it. Sometimes they buy me a drink when they see me coming.
Okay.
But the thing is, we're friends. Hold on, Stanley. Look, I'll let you talk. We got a while. I ain't worried about it. But the thing is, I'm not looking for nothing like that, and I never did.
Since you work in those club and everything, are you telling me that you don't see those guys spending $200, $300, and the girl knows in her mind? Let me ask you the question, Jeff. You know, the woman knows in her mind, I ain't interesting, I am never going to sleep with this guy, nothing's going to happen. And the girl's taking it not only from her, but she's taking it from a whole friend. Five of her friends are coming up with the thing and everything. The guy in the end of the night has nothing. And you're telling me that those girls didn't know?
No, they knew. Nobody's saying they didn't know.
You think that the guy didn't know? You think that sometimes the guy thought that...
He should have known you don't buy it.
Well, he got played. Exactly. He got played.
And you deal with rejection, and you keep it moving.
Yeah, but
it's
very easy for you women to say that because you don't do it.
What do you mean? Nobody's saying we don't do it.
No, of course we know
who we're interested
in. No, you don't. I can bring you to any place. Go any place in New York. Trust me now, you could put 100 beautiful women and 100 good-looking men, 99, you won't see no beautiful woman walking up to the man. They'll all be looking at the man.
Well, Stanley, I'm sorry.
No,
I would never approach
a
Stanley, I'm sorry, I would never approach a guy. That's just not how I was.
There you go. There's my proof.
Not
there
safe.
You go. You just
never
said
approach
it.
A guy. I'm sorry. I don't do that. That's just not how I won't.
Why don't you do that, Trey? Why don't you do that, Diva? Why? If you find a good-looking man in front of your eyes, why don't you approach him? Why don't you approach him?
That's who she is, first of all. You know, you can tell that's just not Diva's personality. But the thing is, that's a whole other woman's personality, because I guarantee you, I get stepped to every single week, and I'm an all-married man. And it don't matter. You're going to get approached. And a lot of women like you because you're an old married man, and they think that you if you play with them, that's something that they can deal with, because they don't know where you are at night. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. You're right with that. I know some men who
bring
ring and go to the club and things like that, and they get approached just because they have the ring, because the woman would rather be with somebody who's married than be with somebody who's single.
Well,
that's so true.
That's not all of them now. Come on now.
Not all of them, but a lot of women would. A lot of women would.
I know plenty of women who do not get down with married men.
Right. And so do I. Okay, so
well,
my point
I know
is,
a lot of women who do.
Hey, it takes all kinds to make the world, Stanley, but you can't get upset because somebody rejects you strongly.
No, I'm not upset of that. But if nobody told him that rejection is normal, if nobody told him that doesn't tell out of your value, if nobody tells him, if a girl tells no to you, just step up on everything and be proud of who you are. If nobody told him that, I'm sorry. A lot of guys are going to take it personally and say, it must be me. It must be, I must not be
it
good
is you.
I must do this. Let me go get some drugs.
It is
Let
you.
Me do this.
If you're getting rejected, it is you. It's
no,
you.
It's not. Sometimes it's not you.
It's you.
Sometimes
that
it's not you. Sometimes
the
girl doesn't feel
listen,
you.
It's not
sometimes the girl has
you.
Some personal issue. Sometimes it has nothing to do with you.
Not
necessarily. Sometimes it has nothing to do with you.
It's not interested in you. So that makes it. You're the reason.
No, you could be nice and kind, and if a woman is not feeling you and she doesn't want to be, she broke up with a boyfriend yesterday and you're cruising her the next day, she doesn't want to know nothing about men.
Of course.
So that has nothing to do with you.
I'm saying
that has nothing to do with you.
If she's rejecting you, she doesn't want to be bothered with you. It's
yes,
you.
And it could
her
be many
eyes,
reasons.
In your,
and sometimes it has nothing to do with you, Diva. Sometimes it has
I'm
nothing
not
to do with
you. I'm not saying there's something wrong with you. I'm just simply saying You. She's rejecting
your personality.
Yeah, it could be
your
personality, but I'm sorry.
I mean,
I'm not going to go with what you're saying. It's about you. No, it's not. I met many women and said, I just didn't feel like having men for now because I just got hurt. It had nothing to do with the men.
Yeah, and then another guy, trust me, another guy come along and turn that frown right into a smile. I've seen
that. And another guy come along and doesn't do that. Some women will stick to what they do.
Oh, man, you got a lot to learn about females, my man.
You got a lot of things to learn about females because the way you sounded it and everything, you just got
to
look in their eyes.
You don't know. You have
no
idea.
You don't know. I know. I date women. You don't. Diva, I date women.
You're clueless, Stanley. You're like a babe.
Diva, I date women. You don't. Until you've dated women,
I'm a woman.
Until you are a man, Diva, you do not know.
I want that.
That
I'm not when a 220-pound girl comes up and says, hi to you real nice. How do you treat her?
Exactly, Stanley. You reject her. You might be nice about it.
Wait. If somebody approaches me and everything, anybody who approaches me with respect, I'll just come with respect and tell her no.
There you go.
But the problem I have is the attitude that some women think they have.
Hey, Big Daddy.
No, I wouldn't say that. Wait, what would I say? That Diva, I wouldn't say that.
No,
I
said if she's 330 pounds, she's
yes.
5'6", she
yes.
comes up to you, hey
yes.
Big Daddy, can I do the surfboard? Can I ride the surfboard?
And I wouldn't say no. I'm not interested at you. That's it. I'm not gonna belittle somebody because she tried to cruise me. No. I'm not. I never did.
Does she keep bothering you? You know you won't.
No, it doesn't bother me. No, she approaches me and everything. I'm worried. No, no. I'm not going to come with an attitude if somebody approached me. No. Diva, I'm not. I know myself. No, I'm not. I don't care. I'm not.
You gotta loosen up too. You gotta loosen up and not be so serious. You gotta have a sense of humor. Most of my experience with women love a sense of humor, man, Stanley. And
yes,
I don't
we
know
do.
Personally, but you don't seem like you have much of a sense of humor, man.
No, no, I have a great. I have no problem sensing humor, but I have a problem when women are basically playing a game when they know they're not playing a game.
Stanley,
and
I have
a guy. I have a problem when guys are using women, and I have a problem when women are using guys. I have a problem with both genders.
Start cutting the mustard and catch up, my brother, because you're playing that game all wrong.
Because
I have dated
less attractive men. People would be like, ooh, what you see in him? Great personality, can make me laugh. You make a girl laugh, I don't care how beautiful she is how not attractive you are. You can sit there and make her laugh, especially if she's having a bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
you in there.
That video, and that YouTube video of that guy in California, that guy sounds like he had no sense of humor at all. He's just monotone. Women don't like that.
No, we don't.
And you don't like selfish, keep to yourself type men either that you know is going to be stingy. And that's the one thing. Women like to have fun. They like to be entertained, and they like to be pursued. Even the worst of them love to be pursued without it being crass.
You have a small group of women who are very serious about themselves and take everything serious. But deep down, every woman wants to have fun and enjoy herself. You can peel back them onions and you'll find that at the root of her core, she wants to let her hair down. She's waiting for the right guy to do it with. And some men just can't let themselves go.
Nope.
Because if you meet her in certain venues, and it's another thing, where you meeting them at, okay? If you're meeting her in a library or some type of arts gallery, some type of event. It doesn't have to necessarily be a bar or club, but any type of social event, you can't be a serious person.
Exactly.
You know she likes to get out and enjoy herself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So in a research lab, now, yeah, she takes herself very seriously.
I disagree with what you're saying because I've met many women. You could be serious. You could be lovable. You could be this and that. Trust me.
I'll be honest with you. Just from the conversation, and I know many guys say that about me, listen to me on this radio, and that's fine. I don't take that personally. But just being listened to you on the radio, you are not somebody I would date. Because
okay.
You seem like
you are not somebody I would date either, Diva.
You're overcritical. You just seem like you
don't
enjoy having fun.
I'm
you're not
with you.
Kid
I'm not overcritical. I'm honest with you.
Everybody just laugh about it, and you just...
I'm not overcritical, and I'm honest with you, Diva. And if you can't take the honesty, I don't want to know nothing about you. I'm honest with you. I don't play games with you, and I explain the same thing that you
don't
play games with me.
But you tend to be cruel in your honesty.
No, I'm not cruel. I'm honest with you. I'm not cruel. I'm being honest with you. If something happens, I'm being honest with you. I never sugarcoat it, but I'm honest. And I do it in a respectful way. I don't put you down. I don't put you down. And I hate putting somebody down.
So why do you get upset when a woman doesn't sugarcoat it with you?
I have the problem with some women are playing games and they know they're playing games and everything and using a man. Jeff, let me just finish. Same thing as a man when a man is using a woman. I have a problem with both gender. And I'm telling you, both gender are using each other. I have a problem when both gender can't be even honest with each other. That's where I have a problem.
I've never dated a man.
No. I've known men who use women,
never,
and I've known women
Stanley's
who
never
use
seen
men.
Me because Stanley's not on Facebook, I don't believe. So
yeah,
Stanley's
you never saw Diva, right?
No, I never saw the Diva.
Okay, well, don't say that statement that you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't date her. I wouldn't date her. We don't have the same personality. We would conflict. Trust me, we would, because she came 2-3 days when she was having a problem with a boyfriend, and we basically told her because her man wanted to have facts, and she's like, well, that depends on the fact that you're doing. Trust me, it wouldn't work. We were coming to her when she was having a problem, and she was like,
you'll be tripping.
I'm just repeating what she said.
He
she
does
was having
trip.
A problem.
He does trip.
You'll be tripping.
I thought you take things and you run away with it.
Yeah, you
cannot have a discussion with Stanley. You cannot. You can't even. It's like you take something and you go far left with it. And no one else can get into the conversation.
No, I typically
don't have a problem with men being attracted to me, but when they aren't attracted to me, I could care less. I have relationships where the guy got into pretending that he wanted to be in a relationship, turned out to be something else. Guess what? When I realized that, I moved on. And I don't look at every guy as the same because they're not.
Diva, can I add this to what you were saying? This is why women a lot of times reject men strongly, because men don't take no for an answer a lot of times. And neither do women. The heavyset women, I told you, I used to attract them. And the nicer I was to reject them, the more they came at me. So
yep.
I started being a little bit, you know, aggressive on that. But, you know, that's just that. I mean, but that doesn't have anything to do with anything because it doesn't bother me. Okay? I don't care. I got rejected. I kind of hurt a little bit. And they felt that I wasn't worthy of them. But you know what? Guess what has happened as I just became me and did what I do? A lot of them people started coming back around trying to holler. But guess what? They ain't getting no holler back.
Meaning high school, with you, Jeff, I got passed over a lot. I got no holler. If you look at my high school senior picture with the skinny legs, you'll see like, man, the brothers weren't interested in that. I didn't get asked to dances, I didn't get asked to proms. But now them same brothers is inboxing me like, oh, you look good. I see my street like, oh, you look good. Well, guess what?
Oh,
you
yeah.
ain't got no holler. Somebody else took your spot. But even still, I don't hold that against them because I know people are – I don't expect for people to be attracted to me. I don't expect everyone to like me.
If you do, you don't.
I'm not going to hold that against you. I don't like every guy I come across. I mean, there were some guys – sometimes I'll be walking, trying to look for something in the grocery store, and you trying to holler. Dude, I'm busy. Get out of my way. Leave me alone.
Damn.
And that's the some women
like
just don't want to be bothered. Don't take that so seriously. And in that moment, they don't want to be bothered, they don't want to be bothered. And then later in the night, they want to be bothered, they want to be bothered. 2 days later, you can sleep with them. That's fine. Just don't get so upset in that moment.
But, Eva, that's what happened with this kid. This kid was upset at that moment, and nobody told him that, what you just said.
But this is beyond him, Stanley. What you're not getting is he didn't operate and function like a normal person. His rationale, his logical thinking was gone.
But Diva, I know some people are operating in the normal way that you're saying or are still don't take the rejection very well.
But they don't want to kill people. They may get mad, they may cry, but they don't want to kill people. They don't make mad.
They'll go crazy. I saw crazy shit happening. And they'll go berserk to the point of taking a bottle and throwing it in the woman's face and doing crazy shit. Not
okay, that
the
will
person,
let you know that
crazy.
You got to look at their mental resource and see something.
No,
I bet you it's more to it than
no.
Just,
those guys are. I know some of them were my friends who acted that way.
They have at least anger management problems.
Diva, I'm
not telling
control you,
your anger.
Diva, I'm telling you the truth. There's one of them who was my friend. We had to hold him up because he was basically throwing a ball because he couldn't take the rejection. I'm telling you,
I'm
being honest.
Let me know that person has deeper issues than that.
No, he
didn't
have deeper issues. The problem he has
he has
was
anger management issues at the very least.
The problem, Diva, the problem he had, he thought the mentality, I'm a good guy. How come I'm not getting any women? I'm a nice guy. How come I'm not getting any women? Okay, that's what he truly believes.
I guarantee you the problem he has stems from his childhood and being rejected by either a parent or siblings. and maybe both. Or
no,
the
parents are still together, Jeff. The parents are still
together.
But that's
being rejected by. Parents stay together. But if your parents reject you and they don't treat you a certain way, you are
the friend I'm talking about, he had everything. The parents.
That's family.
He had everything from a condo in New York that cost a lot of money.
Yes,
he had everything that he wanted.
They give you their love and their nurturing.
Had the monetary way. They loved him. They loved him more than anything in the world. Trust me.
Well, something was wrong with him that you could pick up a bottle and throw it at somebody just because they told you no.
Because he felt that he was
Diva, I'm telling you how it is.
He went out. He was going out. Couldn't meet a girl.
Where was he going?
Go ahead.
Where was he going?
Any places, any social event from
I
clubs
tell you, no girl was
five,
taking
five
advice.
Seven,
what was wrong
to,
with him, Stanley?
You're asking me where he went. I'm going to answer you.
Okay.
He went from social event. He went to the museum. He went to library. He went to many places. He couldn't get a woman that
he came
wanted.
Off as desperate.
He would approach
not even at a wedding.
He would approach women, and he would be rejected and everything.
He came
after
off
a while,
as desperate. Stanley. Women can smell desperation a mile away, and one thing we hate is desperation.
Yeah.
And that's what he came off as.
Wait a minute. Did you all get raised together? Did you
all
go to school together?
No, he's a close friend of mine. He's one of my best friends.
That's what I said. Did you all grow up together, go to school together?
Yes. He went to a private school. He went to the same private school as I did.
Let me tell you something, Stanley. I'm going to give you this, Stanley. When you come from a certain class of people, you have a thought that you deserve to get X, Y, and Z. They call it entitlement. And when a person feels that because they have their parents probably gave them everything or gave them a lot, and they gave them certain this, that, and other, they feel entitled to whatever, and that transfers over into your personal life. And so you look at people as objects of ownership than you do of objects of companionship and friendship. And you don't really know how to have friends with something that you want to possess. And women aren't possessions. Okay, that's the thing. We want them to be, but they're not. And they never will be. And the quicker men understand that, the quicker they'll not have rejection problems.
If women are not possessions, Jeff, and I agree with what you're saying, Jeff.
Wait a minute. I don't mean this to be offensive to you. But you and your friend, in my opinion, are very selfish people. And not only that, you're very stingy people because you probably got almost everything that you ever wanted from your parents. But
no, I didn't. Not me.
Couldn't get it. I said, probably. I didn't say it happened. But the thing is you still look upon people as being a possession of yours.
No, I don't.
Being,
I'm not a possessive person at all. I don't have any possessive. Jeff. I am not jealous. I am not possessive. All my girlfriends could tell
you.
In fact, I'm not. I am the type of person, if you go out with me and everything, and you have to go to a place and everything, I'll be the first one to encourage whatever you need to do. I'll be the first one to have your back and believe in any dream that you have.
Yeah.
Diva, let me just finish something. Just to tell you my background, Jeff, I left a girlfriend that had an opportunity to go to a great university because she had it. And she would have stayed if I said so. But I tell her, you go to that university because you need to do this because you want to be a great lawyer. I confirm on those things. I am not a possessive person, and I'm not a jealous person at all. I never was and never will be.
What happened?
I'm the type of person who has your back. I'm the type of person, if you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and you need me, I'm there. That's the type of person I am.
Without having sex?
without having sex. I had some friends who were women who were friends. Yes.
Oh, I got
without
it.
Having
yeah,
sex.
I
had a personal friend of mine who basically came at my place at 3 o'clock in the morning because she was getting beat up by her ex-boyfriend.
You
so
know.
Don't judge the cover of who I am.
I'm not doubting that you would make an excellent
friend. No. I'm going to. I'm not going to what you're saying, Diva. I'm not going to what you're saying. I'm going to what Jeff is saying because he's analyzing things without knowing this. You're going very fast to the conclusion, Jeff, and you don't know me.
But
I would never go to that conclusion
nice
up to you.
I don't know you, but I listen to your words. That's
yes,
why
you
said.
Listen to me word to word, and the things I say and everything is the truth. I don't try to offend somebody.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you. I'm not saying you're a monster, Stanley. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying you got some problems.
What problem do I have? What problem
Stanley,
do I have when I'm telling you?
Okay,
what
here's
problem
the thing.
Do I have? Go ahead.
Women
go
have
ahead.
To be, in your eyes, you like, or you have this vision of a perfect woman in your eyes.
No.
And if she steps
no.
out of that realm of perfection, you're going to have a problem. If she has
no,
a flaw that you can't
wait,
deal
wait
with,
up, Diva.
You're going to have
okay.
a problem.
Okay. First of all, I don't believe perfection. Perfection is the lowest standard that you can have because nobody can attain that standard. I don't
so
believe
you're,
in perfection.
So you're, like
I
you
believe,
said, your girlfriend,
wait, Diva,
you
asked me the question what
weight,
I believe.
Right?
Let me answer
your
question.
Let me
answer your question, Diva.
Okay.
You're telling me I talked a lot, but you do too. Let me answer your question, then I come back, then we can listen to each other. I don't believe in perfection. I just told you why. I believe of you being outstanding. That's the level that anybody could occur. You could be an outstanding person tomorrow. Anybody can. You
okay.
can improve yourself
you,
in any way you want.
The girlfriend you have now, or the girlfriend you were
yes.
telling us, you said she put on weight. What
yes.
if she was happy with her weight? Would
no.
you still accept her and be with her if she was happy with her weight?
If she was happy with her weight and everything, no. I couldn't be with her. No, I couldn't be with her because not with the way that she's letting herself go. No, because it's a deeper.
I rest my case.
Let me tell you why, Diva. It's a bigger issue than the weight. It's a bigger issue than the weight because she's using Diva. Let me answer your question.
You know it makes, but you didn't even realize I wanted to marry him. He could go out and have, because in my situation, I have to decide whether or not I have to get my cancerous leg amputated, okay? And it may put me in the context of how would he feel about this, how would he think about this. We discussed it. He wouldn't care. And I looked, I was like, well, if he couldn't work tomorrow, both his arms were missing, his legs were missing, I would still be with him. I want to take care of
him. Things happen to people.
And if he gained 300 pounds for whatever reason, I would still be with him because I love him for who he is.
Right.
Not
I mean, that person
is.
Could be in an accident.
Wait, no.
Something happens to that person.
If somebody
they could be
goes
in an accident. That person could get in an accident and be paralyzed for the rest of their life. I mean, so if that happens, oh, that's off the table. So, I mean, it's about love and be commitment to somebody.
Yeah,
exactly.
Alabama, I agree with what you're saying, but a lot of people, when it comes to marriage, a lot of people.
We're not talking about a lot of people. We're talking about two. We're talking about you
okay.
and I said that
okay.
you in
I'm
your eyes.
I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about
okay.
myself. I take care of myself.
Do you want?
Wait. You're
right.
talking
you
about
want?
Me. If I'm going to me, I go to my example. I take care of myself. I take care of my body. I expect the same from my girlfriend. I treat my girlfriend with respect. I expect the same from my girlfriend. I don't say those things if I don't even apply it to me. If I was a big slut that was basically no respect, no money, no nothing, I would not expect that on a woman. But if I do those things, and I do bring that to the table. I expect the woman to bring that to the table also.
Okay, and so don't you think that women have those same expectations, just in reverse? Like there is
yes.
a woman who may have been treated as like a princess by her father, given everything. So she may expect that of the man. If you ain't coming correct and treat her how her father is, the moment you approach her, she's not going to be bothered with you. Women have the same expectations. You may not have $1 million, but if a woman expects for a man to have $1 million to give with her, whose prerogative is that? Who's to say that's wrong? Just like
no,
if you,
there,
you
wait,
only
wait, 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 wait. There's no prerogative.
Women,
the
problem, I have no problem,
the problem with that. Let me tell you the problem is if a guy has $1 million like you're saying and she's expecting that, the problem I have is I tell those guys and I tell one of them, what does she bring to the table? Because she has to bring her part, not just because
she
she's just a woman.
Well, if he doesn't care
Diva,
whether or not
Diva,
to bring anything
Diva,
but
let me
herself.
Just finish. Diva, let me just finish. A lot of women, and I'm asking you the question. You cannot tell me that a lot of women. women don't think I'm just a woman, and that's enough. That should be enough as being just a woman. That's enough I should bring to the game to have a great relationship. A lot of women do believe that. A lot of women
but the
don't
thing about it is, Stanley, it depends on woman with the expectations and the person who is on the reciprocal end of her expectations. It depends on those two. Whatever everybody else has doesn't matter. As long as those two gel, they like each other, that's all that matters. So we could go around about and talk about everybody else's relationships and what such and such, how this should be. It doesn't matter. There's no such thing as a perfect relationship. People get together and you'd be like, man, whoa, I can't believe that. How'd they get together? Because
right,
it works.
Yeah. It goes down to what you want. Do you want love or do you want lust? Because that kid out in California was just horny. Let's face it.
Yeah. He was horny. He was beyond horny. Yeah, he was horny and he couldn't function. And that was his problem.
And he had a misunderstanding of what relationship that a woman had to live up to view him.
Yeah. I wonder what type of women he was approaching, because there are beautiful women who don't have a lot of expectations out of men. Let's just keep it real. So I wonder what type of women that he was actually approaching, because sometimes you got to switch
up. This
you
kid
have
was
to,
college age. You couldn't pick up a college.
Oh, yeah.
Come on,
and
dude.
He was in college, right? Because his dorm roommate or whatever, he was in.
Right.
There you go.
Hey, now look at this video. He kills his kills them, too, because they probably told him, you're acting crazy.
He was jealous because the boys are probably cute and could get girls all they want. You know what I'm saying? They might not be cute, but they can get girls. They know how to get girls. He ain't have no game. He was awkward. Women do not like awkward men. We like men who have confidence, who exude some type of power, sensuality, and have
and
a protective nature about them.
And when I accepted that diva, all my problems went away.
Well,
there you go.
Well,
you have to be confident.
Precisely the point. Women, people don't owe you nothing, and that's where we always get in these arguments too on other things. Don't
exactly.
Nobody owe you anything.
Well, you owe me nothing, so you put
Jeff,
a ring
no
on it.
No woman owns up everything,
you better
but
put
Jeff,
a ring
I'm
on
it.
You set them vows, and I will uphold you to those vows. But other than that, you don't owe me anything.
But if Diva, if that's true, how many times women say, oh, the guy better pay the bill. The guy better do this. The guy better bring
yeah,
that.
I expect the guy that I'm dating to pick up the bill.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I thought you said the guy shouldn't expect anything. You shouldn't expect anything. Well, we're coming to that.
I only date guys who would expect to pick up the bill.
Why?
So
why do you expect him to pay? Why,
like you,
Diva,
who
do you expect him to pay the bill?
A woman should pay for a bill. I wouldn't date a guy like that.
This is what I don't understand.
Why?
How do you expect a man
to pay your bill?
Because that's how I am. That's me. Just like you
why
feel like a woman should pay half. I'm not going
to
knock you for
you
that. I'm not going to get on you for that. I just feel like the man should pay for the bill on a date. And I only date men who would expect to pay for the meal.
If the man pays you for the bill, what do he get from you?
He don't get nothing. He had my time. What he got?
It's
you asked me out. You asked